Blog Talk Radio. are again at Blog Talk Radio, Miracle Internet Cafe. And you know, we're always so happy to be with you on Friday nights and Wednesday nights, where God is working in such a big way. Now, before we get into the subject matter tonight, we have an issue going on in our town tonight. The third wave people are in our town tonight, and they are ministering in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, we have to pray about this because it's very, very important what's going on. Some of you don't seem to understand what the third wave is. These third wave ministers and these people that we expose up on remnantradio.org, the Word of Faith people, the Manifested Sons of God, groups called the Third Wave, the Prophetic Movement, many other things are going on in the name of Jesus that are false prophets. And so I have uncovered a lot of these false prophets as God took me and showed me these people. Now, I want to give you a little warning tonight. If God hasn't sent you to investigate these kind of things, don't go investigating. You see, I've been in the ministry for so many, many, many years, and I've taught in the university or the seminary for 8 years, and so I know doctrines of the Christian faith. I've also cast out devils from all over the world. Now, you haven't, many of you, done these things, and so you might think that you can go and investigate witchcraft and all of this kind of stuff. You stay away from that. Don't go looking into those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus and His Word. You will do better getting in His Word than going and trying to investigate occult things, because you are not founded in the Word of God yet. And it's dangerous, absolutely dangerous, to go up on witchcraft sites and to do things like this. I do these things under the absolute protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus, I have the background experientially, and also I have the background biblically to do what I do. And so someday you may be able to do some of the things. If you are, God will tell you to do them just as He's told me to do them. Now, this is not going to be the whole teaching tonight. We're going to teach on returning to senders. But since these folks are in my town, we have to just cover it just for a few minutes so that you know what is Pat Holliday talking about when she talks about Chuck Pierce, Dutch Sheets, Patricia King, and Peter Wagner, and people like this. What is she talking about? That is a very popular movement. Well, what it is, it's various streams of people that call themselves Christians that come out of a group called the Manifested Sons of God. Originally, they came out of, Manifested Sons of God came out of William Branham. And William Branham developed the theory of Jesus-only doctrines. And those doctrines mean that they believe that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And they take the basic principles of Christianity and doctrines of Christianity and who Jesus is and that He died on the cross for your sins. They teach another Jesus, another gospel by another spirit. And so they're in Jacksonville today, and I just want to tell you what a little bit of their agenda is. They set a gathering on 11-11-11, and I did a newsletter up on Remnant Radio that you can find, that explains what their agenda was and is. And their agenda is a triumph reserved of God's people will be commissioned paranormally. Now, paranormally is not supernaturally. Paranormally is a terminology for people that are in the other side of the occult, not the spiritual side of God, okay? And here's what they say. They're going to take out enemies of the kingdom. Who are enemies of the kingdom? The established church called Trinitarians, the people that believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, the people that believe the basic salvation doctrines and the basic doctrines of the Bible. They're going to unlock the resources of hidden potential. They're going to open up pathways of increase. They're going to network for transformation in ire and assign spheres of influence. And then they go on to, and I'm reading from their ad, okay, not what I think. They're going to the gathering that they had on 11-11-11, which is a magical date, which they set 11-11-11. The number 11 means that it is a it's like the two columns, and they believe that you step through that number into the other realms of the spirits. And we don't get to the Spirit of God that way. We get to the Spirit of God because we boldly come to the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one that opens up any stargates for us. We don't initiate opening up stargates and wormholes as this group does. Now, the fall of America is set, and it's the fall and the prayer power for the fall of America of this group of people was set on 11-11-11, and it was set also by the New World Order people. And so the 11, the number 11 symbolizes the alchemy of transformation of America in the world by the hands of the alchemical twins. Now, I'm not going to go into all of this article. You'll just have to go and read it for yourself. But what these people want to do is that they want to transform the church that's on earth, that has been here for thousands of years, and they want to transform the Christian church into what they believe that the Christian church is. And it's a false doctrine that they're following. It's magical things they're following. And what I'm trying to say to you is that the Church of Jesus Christ was established when Jesus spoke to Peter in the book of Matthew, and he said, "Peter, thou art the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So what these people are doing is they have changed the doctrines of the church, and many of their practices or what we call mystical thinking and traditions, beliefs, and esoteric things. That means that they are absolutely practicing occult things. Now, if you're interested in this stuff, you just go up to remnantradio.org. You can find some of these articles up on, you can find them up on Miracle Internet Church. .com. You can find some of them up on PatHoliday.com. And so they're in Jacksonville. And so I said a little bit of this so that I can say to you that I'm going to pray about what's going on in my town. And so that's the only reason why I covered the little bit that I did. Is there's many articles up on remnantradio.org, and you're just going to have to go and search things out there. Those newsletters are safe for you to read. They're not written by an occultist. They are written by a Christian that has Christian foundations. But you going and running around investigating things, let me tell you something. These people have power. And the reason why I'm able to do what I'm able to do is because I have a background in deliverance and also a background in spiritual warfare, which has not been taught in the American church. So I know how to defend myself. Perhaps you don't yet. That's why we're up here trying to teach you what we're trying to teach you. So be very careful. Don't go investigating things because you want to know and you're curious, because you will be putting yourself and your family in very dangerous situations. Witches, warlocks, and wizards, they do have power. But we're going to teach you tonight a little bit about ascending back and the power that they have. But first and foremost, you have to know that God's people, when they're called, God equips them for the ministry that he's called them into. Now, if you, and they do spiritual things that God teaches them, just like witches and wizards, they work powers of darkness, and they work ritualisms and blood sacrifices and things of that nature. That's their weapons. Our weapons are spiritual. They're not carnal, and they're given to us by Jesus Christ himself. So that's what the difference is, and we do have more power than they do. And so first and foremost, I feel led to pray with you. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over all the wizards and witches that are coming up on Blog Talk Radio, not only to this Christian radio, but to all of the Christian radio that is up on Blog Talk, and there's many of them. Blog Talk told me last week that their site had been hit. It wasn't just our program, that they had a problem with the site. They got it back up, and we take authority. And every witch and every wizard and every crazy person that was bold enough to go up and touch Blog Talk Radio and touch our site, we take authority. And Father God, we ask that you send from your throne the warring angels. And we ask that they take those spirits back to where they came from, sevenfold. And we ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that whatever their plans and their plots were for the Christian radio shows on Blog Talk Radio and any other radio station or television station in this country that they're working against, we expand this prayer for all of the witches and wizards during this season. Anything that they do to try to stop the Word of God from going forth, we just simply command it to return sevenfold. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, these things that are coming against Jacksonville, Florida, with these strange false ministers, in the name of Jesus, I command in Jesus' name all of these wormholes over Jacksonville that they've opened to be closed. All of the stargates to be closed. I bind the powers and the principalities over Jacksonville, Florida. I command the rulers of evil and evil spirits to be bound, the God of the air, and we command the stronghold to be bound over our city. And we forbid destruction to come to the city of Jacksonville and to the state of Florida. And Father God, we ask for your conviction to fall upon every single person that is involved in distributing the false gospel to the body of Christ and stealing the sheep and shearing them. We give you praise and glory, God, that our trust is in you, and we know that you can do above all that we can ask for. We thank you for your divine protection according to Psalms 91. And we thank you for every Blog Talk listener, not only on this Blog Talk radio show tonight, but everyone that's preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that your divine power will fall upon them and they will give out a good, quick, steady word each time they come up on the air. And we give you praise and glory for what you will do for us and what you are doing in the name of Jesus. And Father God, there's not one person that can touch a true child of God. And Father God, it's a very dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's what your word says. And the warning to the witches and the wizards that want to play games, I'm telling you, I don't play games in the spiritual realm. And you are putting your life in danger when you try to stop what God is doing with his people. And so the best thing for you to do is to go someplace else, because I don't play games. And now we're going to teach you what happens whenever you play games with somebody that knows what they're doing in the spirit realm. Now I'm going to tell you that I take authority over every devil and every witch that's listening in, and I disengage those devils from their minds. I cage them in Jesus' name. I command those devils to listen in torment to this lesson that I'm giving tonight. And I command the God, I ask that you send the warring angels to war against these spirits that are leading these people. And we give you praise, God, for converts and for salvation, because we pray for the souls of the people that are entrapped by the powers of darkness. We give you praise for each one of them. Some of them used to go to church. Some of them have fallen into Satan's trap. Some of them are totally blind. But God, if you can open up Bishop Canco's eyes to see light, you can open up their eyes to see light. And we sincerely ask that you have mercy on their soul. However, God, if they try to stop the word of God from going further, I'm going to preach tonight, and the things that I preach will come on them. Once they hear the truth from the word of God, they are without a cause. Now, people, I cover you with the blood of Jesus. I cover you with the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost, and I cover you with the word of truth, and I forbid any Satanists, any devils to speak to your minds while we are preaching. I bind up the spirit of fear, and I come against every devil that would try to interfere. You have no resting place here. And each and every one that turn in, even after I start preaching, this same prayer goes forth for you. And Father, open up the ears and the eyes of your people to hear the truth this day in Jesus' name. And we will give you the glory and we will give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Now, if you are have your Bibles there with you, and you ought to have your Bibles, even though we're on the computer, the first scriptures that I want you to turn to is Acts 13, Acts chapter 13. And the Bible says there, I want you to start at verse 5, And the ministers in this particular scriptures are Barnabas and Saul. And God always sends people when they minister in twos. You see, if you go out and you're out running around as a lone ranger and ministering all by yourself, you're in danger. God sent the ministers in twos. And the reason for that is one protects the other. As one ministers, the other prays. If I'm ministering, Dr. Sabrina prays. She's been over there praying ever since I got on the radio. If she's ministering, I pray. And so there's a reason. Plus, accusations coming from the devil and false accusations at that. So God has his ways and we have to get into his program. Amen? So starting at verse 5, the word of God says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry." So there were three of them in this seminary, in this synagogue. "And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." Now, people that come up on Blog Talk Radio, friends, are people that are looking for truth and they desire to hear the word of God. And whenever a witch or a wizard comes up and tries to interfere with this program, they are fighting against God. They're not fighting against us. They are fighting against the God Most High. Now keep that in your mind. And I can tell you that the God that I serve is quite capable in taking care of you. Can you hear well? Taking care of you and the people up on Blog Talk as you're listening. Jesus is not a weak, mealy, wishy-washy God that you've been presented in many of your churches. Jesus is the power of the universe. And the Bible in Philippians says, "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God." Now, you need to understand this because of the fact if he rules over the universe, any kind of little slimy devil, any kind of power and principality, the devil himself is under the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, last night I was typing out a prayer about this group coming to Jacksonville, and I sent it out on my email. And when I typed the scripture in Colossians chapter 1, that God had created the world, that Jesus had created the world, and that he had made an open show of the devil, that whole scripture just started trembling. And it just that one scripture trembled the whole time I was working on the newswire. It was a supernatural thing. And those devils saw that scripture and trembled. So if you're serving devils and you're smirky and you think that you've got it right and that you can attack Pat Holiday and this radio program, you're not going to get away with it. I'm going to tell you right now, it won't happen for you. You might can do it to others, but it won't happen when you come after this particular ministry. We know how to do our warfare. Amen?
Amen.
And so they came across this certain sorcerer by the name of Bar-Jesus. And he was a Jewish believer that was going around with a mixture of Judaism and a mixture of the occult. And so let's go on. Verse 7. The Sergius Paulus he had called for God's man to come and tell him about the word of God. But in verse 8, Elimaeus the sorcerer, for his name by interpretation means withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So in other words, every time a Christian sows the word of God, there are those that come on the scene to try to turn people away from hearing the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And when people do that, if they come up against a true, honest-to-God, powerful, spirit-filled Christian that understands the word of God, their lives are in mortal danger. I'm just telling you. Now, in verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O foolish of all subtlety and all mischief, that thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord? So Paul warned this sorcerer not to perversely pervert the ways of the Lord, because he was speaking truth under the anointing of God. And then in verse 11, it says, and now, this is Paul talking directly to this sorcerer, just as I did just now before I started teaching. I spoke directly to the wizards and the witches and the false Christians that are listening in. I spoke directly to you. And this is what Paul said. He said, and now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrines of the Lord. Now, these are not Pat Holliday's doctrines that I'm sharing here with you. This is right out of the Word of God that we're speaking to you today. And then, if you go on over into Acts 8, we again see Saul, and Saul is out everywhere preaching the gospel with a fellow named Philip. And the Bible says, then Philip went down into Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things that Philip spoke, hearing and seeing miracles, which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy that were lamed and were healed. And there was a great joy in the city. But a certain man called Simon, which beforehand in the same city used sorcery. That sorcery means witchcraft. And bewitched the people of Samaria. Bewitching means that he put a spell on the people and took over their minds. Now we bind up all spells that these people are throwing over the minds of every Christian that's listening on Blog Talk tonight, over our minds that are preaching to you, and everything that they throw must return sevenfold in the name of Jesus. And so then the Bible says he bewitched the people in Samaria, and giving out that himself was a great one. Now, you see, witches and wizards always want you to think that they're great and mighty. But I'm going to tell you, in Pat Holliday's life, the only great and mighty personality is Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. Pat Holliday and Dr. Sabrina and Marshall Perot are three people that when we come up on Blog Talk Radio, We are here to represent Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we speak directly right out of the Word of God to teach you the Word. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. I had a name, a big name, before I got saved, friends. I was a politician. I had senators. I had congressmen. I went to the White House. I went to inaugurations. I went to the State House. I had congressmen and senators coming to my house asking me to help them with their campaigns. I was the chairman of Jacksonville Beach, of Richard Nixon's campaign. I don't have to have awards, and I don't have to have anybody lifting me up. I'm in probably 12 to 20, I don't know how many anymore, who's who's in the entire world. And so I put all of that stuff behind me when Jesus Christ called me into the ministry. And all I've done for 35 years is minister for Jesus. And my reward is to stand before the feet of Jesus and hear him say, "Well done, O faithful servant." That's why I minister. But occultists, they want you to think that there's somebody powerful, and they will churn your money right in front of you out of your hands. We don't do that up here. If we ask you to support the ministry, it's not to support me. God takes care of me, and God takes care of Dr. Sabrina, and he takes care of Marshall. What we ask anybody for money for is to increase the sphere of this message getting out, and that's it. So you just be very careful about where you go, who you listen to. Make sure they're servants of God when you get under a ministry and listen. If you get under a false prophet, you're going to receive a false message, and it will go right into your spirit, and you will be deceived. Now, let me get back to these scriptures. But this man called Simon, the sorcerer, he bewitched the people of Samaria, which means he cast a spell on them. He enchanted them. He bewitched them. He took over their minds. That's what that means. And all of the people in that area thought he was a great one from God. And they all followed him, according to chapter 10. They all believed him, and they all followed him, from the least to the greatest in that city. And this man, they thought, was a great power of God, and all he was a servant of the devil. And in verse 11, and to him they had a regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with these sorcerers, so they were heavily under the powers of witchcraft. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, Simon watched the power of God's servant, and he could see that the power of God's servant was far more superior than the power that he was operating in. So right away, he wanted to get on the side that had the most power. And the verse 13 says, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued to follow Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs and the wonders that were done. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem and Samaria, had received the word of God, they sent them unto Peter and John, who, when they came down, they prayed for them to receive the Holy Ghost. And in verse 16, it says, for as of yet he, the Holy Spirit, had not fallen upon any of them. They were only believers at that moment. And they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which means that they were baptized in water for repentance. And then in verse 17, it says, and then they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 18, when Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was received, he offered them money. And he said, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So in other words, he saw that the apostles were attached to a stronger spirit than he was attached to. And he saw that they had a more powerful anointing than he had. And he recognized it. And so he had gone forth, he had confessed Jesus, and he had repented from his sins verbally. But whenever the power of God was displayed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he saw that the Holy Ghost power was the most powerful power available to him at that moment. And so he wanted to buy it. You see, a false prophet, they're always centered in on money. I'm not centered on money. What we're centered on is souls, because our reward will be at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus and have Jesus to say to us that he's going to say to many people, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, he said, some people's work will stand and they will receive crowns for their work. Other people's works will be burned like stubble and hay. And he will pronounce the words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And some of these people will say, but Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Yeah, they used the name of Jesus, but they didn't live for him. They didn't obey him. They went down a pathway and did what they thought was right, apart from the word of God. And if you're a minister and you haven't sat at the feet of Jesus, and if you're not a repentant person, and you're just out there ministering and doing what you think you've heard somebody else say, you need to repent. You need to find out if you're a real minister of God or not. You need to quit reading other people's books and copying their ministries, because that's called witchcraft when you do that. You need to copy the Lord's ministry. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to repent. And you need to say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I tried to do this my way. Throw away those books that you're reading that are not true. And get at the feet of Jesus and let him teach you a few things. And let him send you where he wants you to go. Don't try to open up doors because you think there might be a little money there. Don't try to draw people after you. Jesus told me whenever he saved me, he said, Pat, I will draw them to you. I don't ever pray for people to come to me. And once they've come to me, I don't try to hold them through prayer. You come to me because God has drawn you, and you'll stay with me as long as he keeps you. So you need to understand that Christianity is real, but there is a real Christianity and there are real Christian ministers. Now, in verse 20, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou thought that thou had the gift of God may be purchased with money. You see, what I have in my vessel cannot be bought with money. I don't have anything to sell to you. I can't tell you that I'm going to send you a miracle if you send me a prayer cloth. I can't ask you to send me a piece of your hair or pictures of your family and I'll give you a miracle. I have no power over who gets miracles or who gets what from the throne of God. When I minister, it is God that gives the miracles. It's God that gives the deliverance. And when the person connects with Jesus and he or she repents and God sees their heart, then it'll happen for you. All I am is a mouthpiece of the word of God, and God backs it up with the anointing. And that's the way it's supposed to be with every minister. In verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You see, in other words, here's a man of God that discerned the spirit of Simon after he had confessed Jesus and had received the water baptism. The man of God discerned his spirit, and he corrected him right on the spot. And he told him, he said, you better repent. And then what happened is in verse 22, he said, repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought, now get this, friend, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We've got ministers in our country having affairs with their song directors and strange women, having affairs with homosexuals, having affairs and going out and perverting young men that are still standing behind the pulpit, that when they go behind the pulpit, the people in their congregation stand and cheer them like a champion is standing before them, and all they are is a pervert because the people have fallen under bewitching spirits, and they do not know the God that I know, and they do not know the God of the Bible. And the churches, many of them, have fallen by the wayside just waiting for Simon the sorcerer and Elimaeus to come into their church and take all of their monies and all of their goods while souls are being cast into the pit of hell with ministers that have no money to preach the gospel. And I see them on the mission fields, and I've seen them in small churches here in Jacksonville, and I've seen them around the country as I've walked around. And I've also seen the great big churches like the ones that are sitting in the False Prophets in Jacksonville tonight. And I've seen them over in the big churches where the cars live in multi-million dollar homes and ride around in their Rolls Royces and in their Chevrolet Corvettes and whatever. And their designer shirts and their planes, and I can go on and on. They have their rewards on this earth. I'm not greedy. I don't want that stuff. I don't need that stuff. And I pray that they'll repent before they die, because Jesus walked around in a pair of sandals and the clothes on his back and the food to eat in his belly. And so don't think that this is a preaching about money, and that is not what this is about at all. It's telling you that you need to repent before Jesus comes, and he's coming very, very soon. Now, this man only had a thought, and I just described to you a whole basket full of sins in the pastor's pockets in our nation and around the world today. And they can get up there and prance around like peacocks, and they can preach sermons that they learned at their father's feet, that they're no longer living. But I'm telling you, people, the preachers and the church must get it together and repent before it's too late, because Jesus is coming soon. Now, here's what the sorcerer said in verse 23. He said, the prophet said, for I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in a bond of iniquity. Now, what I just described above is a bond of iniquity and a ball of bitterness in most of our churches in our country today. But there is an answer. And Paul said to this Simon in verse 24, he said, Simon said to Paul, he said, "Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me." So he repented. A witch that had just gotten saved, a sorcerer. And as soon as Paul spoke those words under the anointing of God, the witch that was a brand new Christian repented. So these people that are practicing these evil things in our midst, God is not winking at this, my friends. You see, God knows everything, and he knows what's going on in the churches today. If he knew what was going on in the churches in the book of Revelation, and he took note of everything good and everything bad in the book of Revelation, he knows what's going on in the book of our time. I call us in a time where we are a continuation of the true Christians, are a continuation of the book of Acts. The book continues because it's the only book in the New Testament that doesn't say amen. And so we need to begin to seek God, friends, with all of our hearts and with all of our life, with all of our resources. And we don't have to call fire down from heaven. Fire's already in our bones. You see, the Holy Ghost doesn't have to come down. He's here. If you believe him, you already have. You already have a direct connection with the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask the people that are trying to preach up on chat room now. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching right now, not you, okay? So if you'll just listen. There are people that I know personally up there that are putting up scriptures, and I know them very well. I don't know you. So don't try to preach to the people when I'm trying to preach to them, okay? And so fire of God is already upon us. When we receive the fire of the Holy Ghost, fire is in our vessel. And so if you want to preach, go someplace else and preach. Don't preach here until after the sermon's over, because I want people to get what I'm telling them, because it's very crucial to their spirits that they hear it. Amen. And so now, returning curses, that's what the subject matter was going to be tonight. And so I told you all of those things to just get into just returning curses. I hope I get through this tonight so that you can fully understand it. But we pray God that he will have me to highlight it and touch on it. And we'll come back to the subject again and revisit it until you get it. So just take notes as we're preaching, and also look up scriptures. My people that are up there putting up scriptures, they usually put up scriptures that go right along with what I'm preaching. And so returning curses. Now, first place, there are things called curses that are called magical spells. And they're done by sorcerers, like I just described, from the Bible, from the New Testament. And when these magical spells are placed upon people, they are placed there with an intention to harm them, to cause misfortunes. Their intentions of these curses can range from illness, harm, and to even death. Curses are declared to be the most dreaded form of magic, often called black magic, and are believed to be universally used in every false religion. They use curses. Now, the principal purpose for them is to be laid or throne, or for revenge, and also for protection of the homes, treasures, grave sites, and curses can become effective immediately and may be dormant for years. Curses laid on families have been known to plague them for generations. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse and I return every evil that has been released over me and my family and over the families of those that are listening on Blog Talk Radio tonight, whether they're on the chat room in their cars, in their living rooms, or if they hear this after we teach it. We command those evil curses that have been released by the warlocks and the wizards to go back, return sevenfold. And I bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up these people that have tried to interfere with your radio, blog talk sermons here and on other radios. And Lord God, we pray for mercy upon these people's souls. We ask you, God, that you will save them, because your word says that we are not supposed to do evil for evil, that we are not supposed to, the Bible says we are to bless those that curse us. And in the New Testament, the blessing is that their souls are saved and that they come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you bless them. We ask that you bless them and save their souls in the name of Jesus. And because God, in Genesis 4:15, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto them, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." Now, what this means is, you know, Cain killed Abel, but Jesus Christ is the judge. And if people come and try to kill Cain because he killed Abel, they don't have the power to judge him. Only Jesus is the judge. Amen? And in Genesis 4:24, it says, "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly lament 77-fold." So whenever you read the word, you can't just read a scripture and build a doctrine out of it. You need to read the word and understand supernaturally and spiritually what the word means. Now, in Psalms 109, keep your eye on the chat room, though, we see that King David prayed against people who were coming against him. In chapter 7, verse 16, King David said, and he prays, "His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his pate," which means scalp. In other words, he prayed that the person that was trying to stop him and his anointing and what God was doing with him, that thing come back and return upon that own person's head. So friends, you better be very careful when you pray against another Christian, because if that Christian belongs to Jesus Christ, you may be praying God's judgment right on your own head. You better listen to what I'm saying to you today, because I'm going to tell you something that happened to me just even since I've been up on Blog Talk Radio. And then in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 44, the Bible says, "So the Lord will return your evil upon your own head." So in other words, you come up here and you say, "I think Pat Holliday's a Jezebel because she's a woman and women aren't supposed to preach the gospel." And you're talking like that because you don't know the gospel. You don't know how to interpret the word of God correctly. You're just copying with a bunch of Baptist people that read out of the Scofield Bible have told you that most of them are Masons anyway. You better be careful when you reach forth and touch an anointed saint that God has called. Let God judge his own people, as well as let God judge the wizards and the wizards. You don't have a right to judge anybody walking on the face of the earth. And as far as the demons are concerned, you don't have a right to judge them either. I hear Christians saying, I'll send you to Tartarus if you don't obey me. And the devils are just laughing at ignorance like that, because Tartarus is a place where the occultists go. It's a place where their gods hang around. And they're just laughing at the ignorance of some of these people that just think that they can take a few scriptures and get up there and I'm a deliverance ministry. They're not. And you may well be bewitched just listening to that stuff. Wake up, church, while you still have an opportunity. So, in Joel chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, even if you pay me back swiftly and speedily, I will return your deed of retaliation upon your own head. So, now we're going again in Joel 3:7. It says, behold, I will stir them up out of the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your deed of retaliation. That part is not in the Bible, but that's what that means. Upon your own head. That's Joel chapter 3:7. So there you are, prancing all around, thinking you are a powerful minister of God, and you're releasing curses on witches, and you're releasing curses on believers, because you don't know any better. You see, people belong to God, and you better be careful what you send. It may come flopping right back on you, and you might not even survive. You better do it God's way or no way at all, because you're walking in dangerous fields if you're just taking scriptures and flipping them around and think that you know what you're doing if you don't know what you're doing. Amen? And so God knows it all. And I'm here to help you to learn more. You might not know it all. You might know a little bit. But what I'm telling you is be very careful how you handle the Word of God. Because the Word of God, Jesus says there are people that will come and they'll mishandle the Word of God carelessly. And I try to be very careful when I preach the Word of God. Now, the Bible shows us through these scriptures that we just saw that you can return curses and all evil because you don't want what's being sent to you. If someone sends a curse on you, what they have done is they have sent a bunch of devils to you to enforce their chants, to enforce their words. And when they enforce their chants and their ritualisms and their blood sacrifices, they come to you. Now, if they come to you and if they don't find any resistance on your part, those things will come to you. And they'll come into your house. They can kill you. They can kill your family. They can do all manner of things to you. If you don't know how to war for yourself, you're in grave danger, my friends. And so, somebody sends you a letter in the mail, and you don't want to receive that letter because it's your enemy. You can just write on it, send back to sender. And that letter will just return to whoever sent that back to you. And you haven't received that now, have you? Well, that's your protection. You haven't received it. And so you can just simply say, in the name of Jesus, I send this back, these demons back that came to kill me, to rob and destroy, wherever they came from. I don't want you here in my house. I'm not going to let you torment my children. I'm not going to let you torment me. I'm not going to let you destroy my wealth, my home, my car. I'm not going to let you get me in an automobile accident. I'm not going to let you kill me. So you just hear this group of demons that were sent by a warlock or a wizard, you just go back to where you came from. Well, the wizards that have sent that, they know they have a law in their teaching. And what they teach is that whenever they send something out, a hex, a curse, a spell, a bewitchment, whatever it is, they know that that has to go back to whoever sent it if it's not received. So what they do is they know that if it comes back according to their law, it says that those demons will come back tenfold, 10 times worse, and they will come back and attack them to do to them what they were sent to do to the Christian. They know that. So a wise witch, before a wise witch will ever release a curse, a hex, or a spell on a Christian, they will go and they will scan that person before they ever come near to them to see, are you a real Christian? Do you have your armor on? Do you know the Word of God? Are you in sin? Do you have an open door of doubt and unbelief? Do you have an open door of lying? They check you out. And if you have open doors, those witches, devils that they have sent to attack you, can just come into those open doors and a mission accomplished. But if they send them to me, they come to my house and they look at my spirit, they can't get close enough to even touch me. I can tell you many stories about these things. And so be very careful about who you so lightly curse, my friends. Be very, very careful. Because my God, Jesus, is big enough to protect me. He's big enough to protect my family, whom I pray for him to protect. He's big enough to protect my congregation. He's big enough to protect the chat room. For every Christian that's listening to my voice that I pray for, he's big enough to protect you. But if you go out and you freely sin, drinking, smoking, adultery, fornication, you go out and you commit lying, stealing, whatever it is, I have no power to protect you because you've lost the power of God to protect you unless you repent. That's the way it works, my friends. And so then, if those devils come, the Bible says it's God's business how and when, if he chooses to take action on the senders. In other words, if a devil, if a wizard sends something out, God's the one that chooses the punishment. He's the one that chooses whether he's going to punish that person or not. You understand that? Pat Holiday can't send them to hell. Pat Holiday can't send them any place. The only two places that Pat Holiday has the scriptural right to send a demon is we can cage them according to the Bible. We can call on the Father to send his angels to cage them and send them to the feet of Jesus for Jesus to torment them before their time because they were foolish enough to touch a Christian. Okay? And we can We can send them to the dry places. That's the only place that the Bible tells us that we have any rights to send any devil. So you can send them to TARDIS and have devils just laughing their butts off at you. Or you can do it God's way. And one day these devils that you're playing games with, they're going to come and they're going to get you. Because they don't like to be mocked. The devils are very, very proud. And you can get up there and shout at them, "You know I have authority over you. I'm a man and I have authority over you." Well, you don't. You have no authority over any demon except through the anointing and authority that comes from Jesus Christ himself, who backs your word up. You better watch out, friends, because there are some up there playing very dangerous grounds as I speak to you today. Now, so it's God's business to judge them, not yours. And our experience is, as he does take action, if you do not return the curse and the evil that a witch or a warlock sends you, if you don't send those devils back, then you are accepting those curses and those evils which have been sent to you, and they will take effect in your life. In other words, you're not cursing the person. You are just sending back what they sent to you, because according to Psalms 109, which says, they love curses more than they like blessings. Mm-hmm. And so then we look at 2 Kings 3:23. He, Elijah, we're talking about here, he went up from Jericho to Bethel. On the way, the young, maturably, that meant in the Bible, maturing, accountable young boys came up to the city, and they mocked him and said to him, "Go up." And they were saying, "Go up in a whirlwind," is what that meant. "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." In verse 24, and he turned around and he looked at them and called a curse down on them and on them in the name of the Lord. And when he spoke the words, the Bible goes on to say, and two she-bears came out of the woods and ripped up 42 boys. So you see the power of the spoken word of God under the anointing of a saint of God has all the power in the universe, because Jesus Christ has all the power in the universe, and Jesus Christ is backing those words up if they line up with the scriptures. Now in Acts 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also joined their ministers. In verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isles of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer. Now, I've already talked to you about Bar-Jesus and the end result of that confrontation that they had with Bar-Jesus. And so we know from the scriptures that I have shared with you so far tonight, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that a man or a woman that's operating under the anointing of God within the scope of the Word of God has the divine anointing to take authority over devils and to send them right back to where they came from. We know that. And I'm going to teach you some more on this, because we're not anywhere finished with this subject tonight. But I can just tell you tonight that when bad guys and bad women, witches, Satanists, voodoo workers, root workers, Christians that claim to be Christians that are not Christians at all, infiltrators into the body of Christ, the wheats and the tares. When they begin to work powers and prayers against you, and they send a bunch of demons and bad prayers and powers to you, let me tell you, when they fire at you, it's a form of a curse or of any evil that they send in your pathway, and you must return the fire. Now, you better be very careful about this, because if you start returning fire to every Christian because they disagree with you, let me tell you something, you're in grave danger. Because I'm going to tell you, for one thing, Jesus Christ is my judge, not you. Jesus Christ is my judge. I had a bunch of crazy Baptist people that think that they're in the deliverance ministry, who I really do not believe that they are anyway, stand on Blog Talk Radio, and they said, Pat Holiday is a Jezebel. And they said, quote, no woman is supposed to cast out devils. Find that for me in the book. It's not in there. Find me where they call me. They didn't. You see, Jesus Christ called me into the ministry. I have a supernatural Paul-like conversion, and I also have a supernatural call by Jesus Christ himself into the ministry. And the Bible says to be very, very careful not to touch an anointed person of God. And I feel very sorry for people that think just because I'm a little old lady walking around, I'm a little old lady that walks under the anointing of Jesus Christ, and he protects me and he defends me. So you better be very, very careful. The best thing to do is just not say anything at all. If you don't like me, that's fine. I love you. Okay? So, as a minister of the gospel, any incoming shots coming to me will go right through my protection if I don't rise up and defend my household, myself, my ministry, and those that are under me in the ministry. Those demons would be able to just flood right in here and kill me or kill anyone that's following this ministry. You see, I care, and I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for 35 years. And so you have to stop the attacks. You have to stop them. And when you don't use your spiritual weapons of warfare, and if you don't return the fire, you're in the front lines, and the devils are shooting you with everything in their power to shoot you with. And so God directs us to return the fires that they send to us. Now, the disciples carried weapons, and Jesus said, if you don't have a weapon, a sword, what is the sword? A sword is not a physical weapon that you go and kill somebody with. A sword is the word of God. So that's your spiritual weapon. You go buy one. That means that you go get the word of God and you study it until you understand how to use the sword, the word of God. And I am sure they used physical weapons to defend themselves from human enemies. In effect, they were protecting themselves or returning the fire. Perhaps they were not attacked often because the devil, the enemy knows those who can return the fire. The enemy knows that when he comes to Pat Holiday, that she's not just going to lay back and say, here I am, come and just beat on me. Go give me a headache because I did this program. Go and fight my wife or my husband because I did a work for Jesus. And when you do a work for Jesus, you got to get punished. Let me tell you, I probably do more work for Jesus Christ than any of you. And I don't get punished for working for Jesus. I work for Jesus and he rewards me. And if you work for Jesus, he's going to reward you too. Most of the body of Christ is laying down because they think every time they go out and do something for Jesus, then the devils have a right to come and jump on them. Well, the only reason why a devil has a right to come and jump on you is because that's what you've been taught. Amen? So when people curse you as a deliverance minister, here's your scriptures. Deuteronomy 30, verse 7. And the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies and upon those that hate you and persecute you. Isaiah 54:17. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, you shall show to be wrong. This, and what this is going to mean is this peace, righteousness, security, triumph over the opposition. In other words, this peace that you have over all of your enemies, and the scripture goes on and says, is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And what this means is those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is produced. Now, the word goes on and says there, this is the righteousness and the vindication which they obtain from me, which is talking about Jesus Christ. And what that means is it says, this is that which I impart to them as their justification. So you just don't go running around cursing people when they come against you. You've got your defender, and you also can defend yourself. David cried out to the Lord in Psalms 109. He also cried out in Psalms 140. He said, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil men. Persevere from of me from the violent men. They deviseth wicked and mischiefs in their hearts. Continually they gather to themselves to stir up war. They sharpen their tongues like serpents' addlers. Poison is under their lips, Selah. And you just think about what you just heard. Keep them, O Lord, from the hands. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent men who have proposed to thrust aside my steps. The proud have hidden a snare for me. They have spread cords as a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me, Selah. Now just think about that. David goes on in verse 6. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear. Watch the chat room. Give ear to my voice of my supplication, O God. O God, the Lord of strength, the Lord of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not their wicked plots of device, lest they exalt themselves. Those that are fencing me and raise their heads, may the mischief of their own lips and the very things that they devise for me come upon them. Let the burning coals fall upon them. Let them cast the fires into the floods of water, deep water pits, for which they shall not arise. Let not a man of slanderous tongues be established in the earth. Let the evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know and rest in confidence upon the Lord and will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will secure justice for the poor and needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name, and to the upright shall dwell in your presence. And that means that we dwell in the very face of God. So you need to be very, very careful, some of you, as to what you're doing. And you're doing it so lightly. I had men to rise up on Blog Talk Radio, and they call me a Jezebel, and they call me a false prophetess, and they call me a lot of other things. They diverted people from this true deliverance ministry to their fake deliverance ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. I would be very careful, because one of them sent this curse on to me. Okay? What he sent on me is he sent in the name of Jesus Christ that Satan will come and destroy my flesh. That's what he sent personally on me. And I'm going to tell you, you can find it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." So the curse was because this man was a fornicator, okay? And then it goes on to say in verse 2, "And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned." In other words, the congregation wasn't sad about it. They just received that man in his sin. And then on to the verses, "that he hath done this deed be taken away from among you." He should have been put outside of the congregation for doing that. And then in verse 3, "For I'm verily as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as if I were present concerning him that has done this deed." So Paul, in the spirit realm, saw this man was fornicating, and he knew that he should have been judged for doing that. But they just received him as a sinful man fornicating with his father's wife, which is not only fornicating, but it's called incest. "In the name," now here's what the apostle spoke. He said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my name and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 5, "to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Now, there's scriptures that talk about Jezebel in the book of Revelation. And that scripture in the book of Revelation describes Jezebel as a witch. She prophesizes falsely. She draws men to fornicate, and she preaches a false gospel. Pat Holliday is a person that was called some 40 years ago by the Lord Jesus Christ that has followed him ever since very carefully and closely. "I do not do those things. I do not fornicate. I do not lead other people to fornicate. I do not do the things that the Jezebel in the book of Revelation says, but that's what I was accused of. Jesus Christ called me, and Jesus Christ keeps me, and Jesus Christ leads my life." And this was somebody that claims to be a Christian. And I'm going to tell you, when you do things like that foolishly, you stand yourself in the presence of the Lord God and he could kill you instantly if he wanted to. And when he wants to, you continue to use the word of God foolishly, and one day that's what will happen to you, because Jesus Christ is my judge. He's the judge of the wizards, the witches. He's the judges of the demons. You're not the judge. And when you stand up and start doing foolish, careless things by handling the word of God carelessly, your life is in danger. And the lives of those men that did that, I have forgiven them. I have put them in the hands of Jesus. And as far as I'm concerned, it's over. But I'm going to tell you something. It is not over with God, because there's not been any repentance. And the only way that these kind of things can be over with God is if the person humbly repents before the throne of God, and God will send them to that person, and that person will beg for forgiveness. And that has never happened. Now, in 1 Timothy 1:20, Paul says, among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan in order that they may be disciplined by punishment and to learn not to blaspheme. I have never blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ, ever, since I've been saved. So that wasn't a reason to do that either. And so there are scriptures where men of God have anointings to say and do certain things, but they don't have anointings to just rise up and put curses on other Christians because they disagree with them. You better know what you're doing. When you handle the word of God, you better understand fully what you're doing, because you can be putting yourself in danger doing some of these things that are so lightly done in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so this has been a long teaching. I've cut out a lot of it because I think that we've been in the Word of God a long time tonight already, right? And we've been in the Word about an hour and a half. But some things you have to teach line upon line, and that's what we were trying to do tonight, is to teach you so that you could learn quickly the Word of God. Now, we're going to open up the phones tonight for questions. So the number, Alice will put the number up, 805-292-0300. And for those that are listening in your cars and in your bedrooms and on your cell phones and across the world, you can call that number. Now, I want to tell you, if you call that number on a recast of the show, it won't ring. This is for live audiences only. So if you call the number and we're not on the air, it won't answer, okay? So it's 805-292-0300, and you dial 1. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I see my friend Marshall on the air. Is that you, Marshall? Hello? Hello? Well, he didn't pick up. So if you want to come up, Marshall, if that's you, just put dial back in and dial 1. Wait, let me see if he's dialed 1. He might have. No, he hasn't dialed 1. So if you want to come up on the air, you just call back and dial 1, and I'll put you on the air. But we're here tonight to teach you. This is our Wednesday night prayer meeting, and at the same time, it's our Wednesday night teaching. And so I've taught you a long time, and some of you may well have questions. This is a very serious thing that we've been in tonight. And so we're open for questions now. And some of you that have not been up on the chat room putting things up there, Alice is going to let the chat room free now so that you can put your questions up on the chat room. She's been putting up scriptures for you. And we thank you for that, Sister Alice. We appreciate all that you do for the Lord. Amen. And so if you have a question, and if you're up on the chat room, just write the question and I'll keep an eye. And Dr. Sabrina's got an eye on the chat room and we'll answer your question if you don't want to come on the air. If you want to come up on the air, you dial 805-292-0300, and then you dial 1, and that means your hand will go up, and I will answer the call. Dr. Sabrina, we have a phone call here. 347, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Holliday. This is Cassia from New York. I couldn't come on the radio program early because there was a problem with the phone lines. But I did have a question. I was reading the Bible, I think yesterday or today, and I came across a scripture which made me like very confused. It's in John 6, chapter 53, and it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. 54 says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And I just wanted to know if that was in reference to the communion.
Yes, ma'am. That is the communion of Jesus at the table, but it's also receiving the blood sacrifice of the blood of Jesus when he hung on the cross and his flesh died on the cross for your sins. So that's yes.
And I did also have a prayer request. I wanted to pray to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and for him to purge me and make me holy and clean and have mercy on me.
Okay, now, let me tell you something, Cassia. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you receive his blood sacrifice for your sins, the blood of Jesus washes you clean. That's the Word of God. The minute you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are clean. You stand right before his throne right today, cleansed by his blood. Now, whenever you're going through deliverance, what that is God is cleaning out the riffraff of things that has attached itself to your flesh from the time that you were born, coming down from your forefathers, witchcraft, of incest, and things like that. And so the deliverance minister is cleaning the things in your flesh out of you. Your spirit is clean. And what God is doing is he's driving the devils away from you so that you can have peace, that you can love and enjoy the Lord, so that these devils that harass you have no open doors, no gateway to harass you. You're clean right now, okay?
Okay.
You need
to. Okay, so when you've been delivered, are you being delivered of what affects your soul? Because you said the spirit is clean.
Okay, what you're doing.
Or the body.
Yes, you're being cleansed. You see, demons work up in your mind, and they work in your flesh. And when Jesus saves you, He takes your soul, your spirit, rather, and that spirit is in the hand of God. Then you have a mind and you have a flesh. And what God is doing is he takes your mind and he begins to cleanse your mind through the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says the mind is renewed through the Word of God in Romans. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus whenever you're saved. And so what he's doing is he's cleansing your mind with the Word, and he's taking your new creation, and he is building a temple for himself in your body. And so he's driving all of the things out of your body and all of the things out of your mind before you ever met him. But you are by his blood. You're already cleansed. It's not something that you have to wait to have. It's there for you right now. And so...
Your answer drives me to one more question. So before you get delivered from, like, everything, is your body still, like, the temple of the Lord or not?
Your body, a lot of people, the minute that they get saved, their body feels like something wonderful has happened to them. Some people go into an ecstasy almost. They feel like, I felt like a load of sin just lifted off of my flesh, off of my back. Then when they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they feel ecstasy and they feel light and they feel wonderful. Your body is like I would describe it like a garden. Your body, like if you have a garden and you go, you have to take care of the garden. You have to go and pull the weeds out of the garden so that the grass can grow and the flowers can grow. And so each day that you're a Christian, you're pulling weeds out of your garden. And what you're doing is you get, let's say that you were an alcoholic before you get saved. Well, you see, even after somebody gets saved, sometimes they lapse back into alcoholism because the flesh is craving for that alcoholism and they're not mature enough yet to get a hold of that particular sin. So how do they get mature? Well, first place, if a minister knows about these things, they will drive those devils out of that person of alcoholism, and they will tell that person, now you go get into the Word of God, and you fill and water that area of your garden with the water of the Word. And so then you've got that area of your flesh under subjection to God because the demon's gone and you no longer drink. But let's say you smoke and you still have that habit. Well, again, the Lord will come in and he will drive that devil of smoking out once he gets you to submit to the will of the Word and the will of him. He can drive that cigarette spirit out of you, and then you water it with the Word, and it doesn't come back as long as you're closely submitted to the Lord. And that's the way deliverance operates. And so you're being delivered. You've already gone through a lot of deliverance, but little bit by little bit by little bit, you're being delivered. And each little bit of territory you take, you cleanse it with the Word, live that in the Word, and if something else pops up, you cleanse that with the Word, command the devils to leave. Now, some devils torment after deliverance from the outside of a person. They're not in you anymore, but they're oppressing you. They're shooting thoughts into your mind, and you haven't learned how yet. To guard your mind, to take control of your mind. And so sometimes after deliverance. The devils are out, but they know that you don't know anything. And so they're there tormenting you and trying to get you to think that they're there. Like when you get healed, you get healed of headaches. Well, we drive that spirit out. And the next day or so, you got a headache back. Well, is that headache coming from inside, or is that headache coming from a devil that from the outside has wrapped itself around your head, you see? And so yeah. That's what happens. There's a lot of things to deliverance that is a way, a walk with Jesus. So when you get delivered of something and you get the feelings back, the first thing you do is you say, I take authority over the symptoms. Jesus, you healed me, and you're not a halfway God. And I receive your healing in my vessel in Jesus' name. And begin to quote the scriptures to yourself. By your stripes, Lord, I'm healed. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And as you get busy with Jesus, all of a sudden it's gone. You can, if it can sit there and torment you and take over your bedroom, which I call the mind, if it can torment you, making you think something, then you feel something. But you get your mind on Jesus instead of the symptom that's already been healed, and you do just exactly as I just described to you, you'll begin to walk in healing, and the devil won't be able to steal your miracles or your deliverances.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also the devil. That's how you do it, right? Okay, sister, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. And it would help if you listen to this recast. This is an important recast today. Amen? Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a call from 863. You're on the air.
Hi. I am fairly new on my walk. I grew up a Catholic and in the midst of a family turmoil, I have gotten into a new walk. And recently, I did a whole lot of praying one night to break curses.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, I think, I didn't know enough about all of this to really pray over myself, my son, and my husband before I did this.
Uh-huh.
And I assume that it was the enemy getting really angry at me because he cruelly attacked my 13-year-old son that night in a way I never would have expected. Is that, am I understanding it correctly, that because I was praying what I was praying, I was breaking curses that I was breaking, that that's what it would have resulted in?
What happened to you is just exactly what we were teaching on tonight.
Right.
You see, I tell people that you don't go to the front lines to fight the devil until God has taken you to his Sunday school kindergarten class. And he takes you from the kindergarten class to the first grade to the second grade, and he keeps elevating the ladder for you. You don't go out and attack the devil until you learn how to protect yourself and until you know what you're doing, because the devil knows what you know. And so what happened to you, you just parachuted right down into the deep water, and you were trying to do something that you have not been trained to do. There are people that I've heard up on Blog Talk Radio, and they are trying to get Christians to cast out devils who have never been trained. there was one man that called me that was suicidal, and he had not been trained to cast out devils. He came out of a deep, deep witchcraft back, and immediately they wanted him to come up and cast out devils with him, and he was just getting his butt kicked real, real good by the powers of darkness. And by the time he got to me, he was suicidal. And they were mocking him, saying, "You're just a baby. You're just a coward. You should be able to cast out devils," and things like that. Well, you see, these people do not know what they're doing, and they're putting people's lives in danger, because the deliverance is taught, and it's learned by the Lord sitting at his feet. It's not some people standing up proudly in front of you saying, "Come out, come out, come out, come out," or reading a list of devils. That is not the deliverance ministry. It's not. It's not demons manifesting and growling and jumping around. They can do that, but there comes a time that they have to stop doing the manifestations and just come out, and the person finds peace. And so you've just got yourself in water that you had not been trained to swim in. So what the devil did is he came in your house, he attacked your son, and what he's telling you is you better not ever do that again. That's what he's telling you. And what I would tell you is don't do that until you learn, and unless God tells you to do that.
Okay, but if I don't know how to describe this because I know you've got other callers. I'm part of Marriage Restoration Ministries, and we talk about deliverance of things to free us up. And like, you know, I have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and I think that there is a hindrance there, and I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, the Holy Spirit, do you go to a church that believes in the Holy Spirit and baptism?
Oh, very much so.
Okay, but you just haven't received that.
Correct.
Okay. You shouldn't be trying to attack any devils without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Teaches you the Word of God. The Holy Spirit empowers you. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to who He wills. The Holy Spirit hasn't given you the gift to break curses and cast out devils, because you don't even have Him as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so,
right.
I don't know what church you go to. You know, there's so many weird things going on. I don't know what they're teaching you, but if you're just learning to do something from somebody's manual and the pastor or the teacher is telling you to do it, don't do it.
Oh, no, the breaking of curses has nothing to do with my church.
Where did you...
That's something through the Marriage Restoration Ministries that
what
we all kind of help each other with.
What was the name of the ministry?
Well, we've got several that are Facebook groups. There are several of us that talk on our own. But we're all standing for our marriages, the restoration of our marriages.
But you don't have somebody teaching you anything, do you?
Not as far as that. Just other people who have gone through it, who have been led, they feel, by the Holy Spirit to teach others, not everybody. I mean, it's not a blanket. Everybody needs to do this.
Where did they get taught to do this?
Just through their praying and walk with the Lord and their restoration walk through all of this.
Well, let me tell you, the deliverance ministry is probably one of the most serious, deepest ministries that God has instituted. And the Bible says that God calls his ministers, mm-hmm. and it gives to who he will. And he doesn't just lightly give the gift of deliverance ministries to people, because it's very, very serious. And just like you got attacked with your son, you know, it could have been that your son could have been killed in that instance. That's how serious this is. And so God doesn't send novices out to do these kind of things. And so I would be very careful. I don't know who the people are that you talk to. I don't know what their backgrounds are. But God is not going to just call somebody through experiences and say, here's a deliverance ministry for you. It does not work. God may teach you to pray for each other and pray for your marriages and ask God to bless your husband. He may even teach you some spiritual warfare of binding and asking God to bind the devils in Ephesians 6:10. I have a manual called Binding. No, it's called Spiritual Weapons, that teaches you how to take your spiritual weapons and pray. And he may call you to do something like that, but he's never going to bring you into binding territorial spirits, and he's not going to bring you to binding ancestral devils over. You're just not there, and you don't know anything. You don't even have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So just getting around a bunch of women and praying can get you in an awful lot of problems.
So is there a difference, though, between true deliverance ministry? Because a Christian school my son went to, the church that ran it, did a whole lot with deliverance. And they would talk about, you know, the things that you talk about with, you know, the spirits coming out and all that. And they said that is, you know, the pastor is very careful as to who he even involves in anything like that.
That's a wise pastor. I don't know what he believes.
Right.
I don't know who he is. But I can tell you that a wise pastor that is truly a deliverance ministry will first and foremost train you as a deliverance minister before he would allow you to ever do what you did. And so I don't know who he is. I mean, hopefully he's a true deliverance ministry. Sounds good so far.
But now, is there a difference, though, between that he does and me being told I need to break all old soul ties, I need to renounce all my Catholicism?
Let me tell you, I don't know who's ministering to you. Whenever you take off and break, are you doing this yourself or is somebody doing this with you?
No, I'm doing it myself.
Well, then that's wrong. Are they telling you to do that yourself?
Yeah, they've done it themselves.
Well, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Okay.
You see, I taught in the teachings earlier that God sent people out two by twos.
Right. I heard that.
What I know in a prayer meeting back in the 70s when people didn't know anything much about deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, he sent me two by two. I had a prayer warrior, and God would teach us how to cast out devils, and he taught me what I wanted to know, but I didn't go out there and do what you're talking about all by myself. It just doesn't go that way. And so you have to do, and it's in the teachings tonight,
mm-hmm.
you have to be very careful who you open up your spirit to.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful. You just don't let everybody pray for you, and you just don't launch out on your own and do something unless God shows you. And
right.
God has been able to show you because you haven't even done the basics. All you born again.
I'm sorry, you cut out real quick.
Are you born again?
Am I?
Yes. Tell me how you got born again.
through prayer, through reading the word, through submitting my life.
Okay, what did you do when you got born again?
What do you mean, what did I do?
Did you just, well, what you just described to me is not being born again. Let me tell you how you get born again, okay? The Bible says that a person gets born again when they ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, and they repent from their sins, and then they ask Jesus to become their personal Savior. Mm-hmm. And you get born again by receiving the blood sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross for you. Have you ever done that?
I guess I don't know what you mean by receiving the blood sacrifice, because I've done all that you just said. I didn't know what you were looking for. I mean, so I don't know what you mean by receiving the blood sacrifice.
That means you have received Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins.
Right.
He died on the cross for your sins in your place.
Right.
And so let's just do it while you're on the air, okay?
Okay.
You just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
I ask you that you will forgive me.
I ask you that you will forgive me.
For all of my sins.
For all of my sins.
And that you will be.
And that you will be.
My personal Savior.
My personal Savior.
Lord Jesus, I forgive myself.
Lord Jesus, I forgive myself.
And I ask you, God.
And I ask you, God.
To come and live in my heart.
To come and live in my heart.
And be my personal Savior.
And be my personal Savior.
I repent.
I repent.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, you just thank him. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for saving my soul.
I thank you for saving my soul.
And help.
I'm sorry?
Help me, Lord.
And help me, Lord.
To be a good Christian.
To be a good Christian.
And to learn from you.
And to learn from you.
Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it comes from people. Everybody in agreement now. It comes from people that have received Jesus and his blood sacrifice, which is what you just did. You've asked him to save you. You ask him to forgive you. You accepted that he died on the cross in your place so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. And now what you're going to do is you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and he is the one that gives you the anointing and the power to understand the Word of God, and he is your comforter. And so all you have to do to receive the Holy Spirit, you cannot be good enough, holy enough, or anything, because he's the one that will clean your life and guide your life every day with his Word. So all you have to do is to ask him, and he comes in, because you are now a believer, right?
Right.
And so what you do is you say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
And the Bible says.
And the Bible says.
That Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit.
That Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit.
And he baptizes his people with the Holy Spirit and fire.
And he baptizes his people with the Holy Spirit and fire.
And I ask you, Jesus.
And I ask you, Jesus.
That you are standing right in front of me.
That you are standing right in front of me.
And I ask you to baptize me.
And I ask you to baptize me.
With fire.
With fire.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
Now I want you to say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I accept you.
I accept you.
And I invite you to come in.
And I invite you to come in.
And now I want you to just raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Baptize me with your Holy Ghost.
Baptize me with your Holy Ghost.
Fill me from my head to my toes.
From the top of my head to my toes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now just start praising him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. In Jesus, all the glory and honor is yours. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Touch
Jesus.
Fill her, God.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Glory.
Lord, everything. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God.
The Lord on the chat
room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Get filled with the Holy Spirit today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for everything, Lord.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We worship
you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Come up and sing the blood of Jesus. Praise
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody's praising the Lord. Oh, the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Light has known.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus, for everything. Father, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Praise you, Lord.
How are you feeling, lady?
Same as I always do. Every time I go to the altar, same as I always do.
She feels good? Tell me again.
I mean, I feel the same as I always do.
Okay. What was that you that just came up?
Pardon?
I'll talk to someone else. You just hold on.
Okay.
Marshall, are you on the air?
Yes, good evening, Pat.
Marshall, we're just ministering to this young lady. Somebody pulled her into some pretty deep waters of trying to curses over her family, ancestral curses and everything. And so in talking to her, she doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she had never been saved. So we just led her to ask Jesus to be her personal Savior, and then we led her to receive Jesus to baptize her into the Holy Spirit. And we were, Dr. Sabrina was singing the blood of Jesus over her, and you came on. So I want you to share a little bit with her. She's a brand new, open to receive Jesus Christian.
Praise the Lord.
Love and possible, darling. Go ahead.
Sister, I don't know if I heard a little bit a few minutes ago. I don't know if this is the same lady was saying she was asking for the Holy Spirit and wasn't sure if she'd received or something. But I heard a testimony from a brother who said that people who were struggling trying to receive the Spirit, it's not a struggle. It's a matter of yielding to the Lord and to His blood. And it's the Holy Spirit always responds to the blood of Jesus, because that's the only thing that makes anyone righteous in the eyes of God. It's
right.
Because He loves us and washes us from our sins in His own blood. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, so He loves each of us, He loves you, and washes away your sins in His own blood. And that blood is not just ordinary people blood. This is the blood, this is divine blood, because it says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And you know, if somebody buys something and they pay a lot of whatever is considered valuable for it, a lot of gold or silver or whatever people consider valuable, they probably want to take really good care of something that they paid a lot for. Well, Jesus paid the highest price anyone could pay for anything. He paid the blood of the Creator of the universe for you. And that blood guarantees your acceptance before the throne of the Most High God. And something that I have to realize, you know, our Heavenly Father, He promises in the end of Luke, it talks about the promise of the Father, and the promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't want to return to heaven unless the Father was going to send the promise, another comforter. So He's there to comfort us, but He does a whole lot more than just be like a big comfy comforter in the wintertime or something. And there's something that I've been meditating on just recently, and I think the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do this. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus speaking, this is red letters, this is the King of Kings speaking, the Messiah, and He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Father sends the Holy Ghost also in the name of Jesus. And that is, I don't claim to have full understanding, but I do know that there's something really powerful, because Jesus was talking to the Pharisees or Sadducees, and they said, and He said, before Abraham was, I am, in John 8:58. And the name I am is the name of God that He revealed to Moses in Exodus. Well, His name was written on the houses of the Israelites. That's why the angel of death passed over, because it said, oh, somebody already died here. I don't have to go in there and kill the firstborn. I see the blood. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to us. That's why the enemy can't touch us when we have the blood on our lips.
Right.
Because we have the name of God. The name of God, I am, in the Hebrew, that last letter is written, it looks like a door. And that's what they did. They put the blood on the lintel and post. So what I'm trying to say is, when you have communion, that you are receiving the blood. And if you have to forgive me, I have a biology degree, so I think in different areas. And in the human body or any living, you know, air-breathing type being, that we have blood. And the blood carries what? It carries oxygen to all the cells of the body. So even your kidneys and liver and stuff get oxygen, even though they don't have little mouths and they're not breathing outside the body, because the oxygen is carried there by the blood.
Right.
And guess what? The Holy Ghost is referred to as the Holy Breath. In John 20, and He said He breathed on His disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So there's different levels of receiving. Obviously, a person can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit, but there's a second event in the baptism that Pat's been talking about. And from what this one brother said, who's very, you know, he'd been in the Lord many more years than I, he said he'd never known it to ever fail, that if someone wholeheartedly was having communion, received the blood of Jesus by faith, and asked the Father that the Lord Jesus would baptize him with the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, in that day you'll ask Me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it you, in John 16:23 and 24. So we ask the Father in Jesus' name, and that's confirmed in John 15:16 and a couple other places. We're supposed to pray, even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said it goes like this, Our Father who art in heaven. We're supposed to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So we ask the Father, and in the name of Jesus, I really believe it means that we've had communion. What does that mean? That means that we get to examine our own hearts first. We judge ourselves so we won't be judged. There's a day of judgment coming, but we get to judge ourselves and say, oh, the Holy Ghost convicted me here, and I realize I missed the mark in this area. Please, I take responsibility, and I repent. If whatever it is, I carried a grudge against somebody in nursery school, or I didn't really love myself, you know, because we can't love our neighbors if we don't first love ourselves. So you got to know, and this is a tricky one, because for many years I thought I was being super humble, but what I was doing was I was agreeing with the enemy and not with God, in having a spirit of self-hatred, and that's a very unhealthy thing to do. It looks like you're being super duper humble, but what you're really doing is beating up on a creation that God said is very good.
Right.
So don't go there. But anyway, the whole point is that I'm getting in this scripture in John 14, I'm going to read it again, John 14, 26, Jesus speaking, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of I am that I am, because he came in his Father's name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, I remember when I was seeking, I was a new Christian, and I was reading a book by a fellow who wrote a book called 9 o'clock in the Morning. I forget what his name is right now. But it was all about seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking that second event, the baptism in the Spirit. And this man came up to me and said, are you ready? Have you received since you believe, like it says in Acts 19, I think it is. But I did know there was a Holy Ghost, but I hadn't received yet. And so he said, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. I wasn't really eager, but I mean, I said, well, I don't know if I'm ready. I haven't quite finished the book yet. You don't need to finish the last two pages of this book to know. You can read it in the Bible. The Holy Ghost is real. And the Father is not going to give you a false spirit. If you ask the Father in Jesus' name, and if you receive Jesus, and it's by faith in the blood that anybody really receives Jesus, and that's something that this is even fairly new to me in the last year or so. If you read Romans 3:25, and I don't know if I'd have that completely in my memory. It's working its way from my head to my heart here, but Romans 3:25 is, you know, if you have to think about the faith of God, what's his faith in? And his faith is in the blood. Because he knows without the shedding of blood, there's no remission in Hebrews 9:22. But anyway, in Romans 3:25, it says, whom God has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So God set forth Jesus. He allowed him to be nailed on that tree, or Jesus actually said he had power to lay down his life and power to take it up again in the Gospel of John chapter 10, around verses 17 and 18. So he paid the price, and if our faith is in the blood, then when you look at John 14, 26, you realize when you have the blood, and what you're doing is you're receiving the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You have faith in his name, which is I am. You have faith in his blood, as his blood is on your lips. And just like Moses had faith in the blood, because, you know, they would not have put the blood on the lintel and posts, you know, as let's try this. It was to save all their firstborn. And Moses knew, because God tried to take Moses out. He almost killed Moses' son, his firstborn, because his wife had refused to circumcise him. And back then, you know, they weren't under grace yet. They were under the law.
Right.
And his son had to be circumcised. Otherwise, God himself was going to take Moses out. He just gave him an assignment to go back to Egypt, and next thing you know, he's going to kill him. I'm like, wow, that's pretty radical. But that's what the book says. So Moses found out that by his son being circumcised, his wife called him a bloody husband, that Moses knew his life was spared by the blood. And when God gave him the commandment about the Passover lamb, of course, Christ is our Passover, but when he gave him the commandment, he knew the blood had to be there. And that's what it says in the list of the great stories about the men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I guess I should read it, because my words don't do justice to his words. His word is what's forever settled in heaven.
Ready, sir.
It's His word is so powerful. It's, you know, it's the word of His power. And in Hebrews 11:28, it says, through faith he, that is Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them, because that's what protected them, is the blood of the Passover lamb, representing the blood of the Passover lamb, Christ, our Passover, who sacrificed for us in 1 Corinthians 5:7. He's the Passover lamb. He paid the price for you and me with the blood of God. And when you have the blood, the Holy Spirit is eager to come. Because the Holy Spirit, there's a couple different places that talks about Christians being sanctified, mm-hmm. set apart, for because we're all created for His purpose.
Right.
We may have different purposes, you know. You know, Pat Holiday has an amazing calling on her life, but everybody has different purposes. You know, I mean, somebody who, whatever they do, they bake a cake to help their neighbor or something, you know, or bring food to starving orphans, or everybody has a different calling in their life. But the Holy Spirit is eager to come when He sees the blood.
Right.
The Lord said, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt, in Exodus 12:13. And that's still valid today.
Right.
So the blood not only protects us, but that's, when you have the blood, you that represents that breath of God, and the Holy Spirit is the breath of God, because that blood carries the air through our bodies. But this is the air, the breath of God. And you have to understand, when you read those words from 1 Corinthians 11, where Jesus gave the revelation to the Apostle Paul, and he got it by revelation. He didn't get it because he was hanging out with Jesus in the natural. He got it supernaturally by the Holy Spirit teaching him. That Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. That's the whole New Testament. It's His blood.
Mm-hmm.
Without the blood, there is no New Testament. There's a lot of people who are twisting the New Testament to say something else happened. You know, Jesus isn't really God, or you know, the cross isn't really the power of God, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But it is. The cross is the power of God, because He shed His blood for us, and the Holy Ghost is so eager to come. And I just have to tell you a personal testimony. So this man prayed for me to receive the Holy Ghost. I was in an Episcopal church back then. That's before they were endorsing gays. And,
right.
200 people in that church at the time were Spirit-filled, so it was a very, this was back at the end of, early, I guess it was 1980, so the Holy Ghost was busy in a lot of those churches at the time, and this man prayed for me, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any flashing lights, I didn't hear any things, I didn't suddenly burst forth in funny words coming out of my mouth that I didn't understand, nothing happened. Well, mm-hmm. I went to the YMCA with my family, which was a pretty small family at the time. We had one daughter, and my wife and I hadn't been married that terribly long. But I went to the YMCA, we were going to go for swimming, and I went in the men's locker room to change. And I was all alone in there in the shower room. You're supposed to rinse off before you get in the pool, public-type pool, and water, you know. Out of your belly mm-hmm. will flow rivers of living water. By this he
right.
spake of the Spirit. So I'm sitting in the shower, and I had to consciously open my mouth. He told me about this. He said, by the way, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything against your will. You have to open your mouth, move your tongue, and yield to Him. It's just a matter of yielding. You know, like Jesus said, not my will, your will be done. And if you ask the Father to have Jesus baptize you, you know there's no strange spirit. And I can confirm that in Luke 11:13.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you need to be sure, because there are other spirits out there, and some people in some mainline churches think the Holy Ghost isn't for real, or it's not holy, it's an unholy spirit. But in Luke 11, I go back a couple verses, verse 10, Luke 11:10, Jesus speaking again, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Hey, we get to ask, we receive. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
Mm-hmm.
If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And by the way, nothing wrong with asking to be filled up, topped up. Somebody, I don't know where this guy got this. One pastor said we leak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know if we leak, but I don't see any reason with continually seeking more of him. So there I was in the locker room, and I opened my mouth, and all of a sudden, I was quite surprised. It was like a baby language, but, you know, these words came out, and I didn't know what they meant. But it was me using my tongue and my lips, and I was breathing and all of that. But the Holy Ghost was given permission to use them, and it says, you know, this in Corinthians, it describes, you know, why we do this and what the point is. And it's important because it says that we edify ourselves in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 14. And it says in Jude, I think it's verse 20, it says that we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that chapter about the ungodly spirits in Ephesians chapter 6, I don't have that memorized, but I should. Help me, Lord, to hide your word in my heart, that I will not sin against you. God eats popcorn. Ephesians 6. But the part in there was talking about the armor of God, which is all
right.
Referring to Jesus, basically, that we're in him. And then it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Because there's sometimes you want to pray for somebody or something, or a family member, or something happens suddenly, and you really don't know how to pray. But it says the Holy Ghost groans through us. I think he talks about that in Romans chapter 8. So he groans through us. So it's a great resource. And I know the enemy doesn't understand what the Holy Ghost is praying. We don't necessarily.
Right.
And the enemy doesn't. So the God himself can pray through us. And you just think about what God did with Moses. He was a man that just yielded himself. He was the most humble of men. He yielded himself to God. But I just want to encourage you that as you have communion, and you can have it at home, in the privacy of your home or whatever, if you have a husband, you know, hopefully your husband is a believer and he can have it with you, but to ask for the Holy Spirit with the blood on your lips, and the Holy Spirit's very eager to come, and ask the Father, I would prefer to ask the Father, can ask the Father to have Jesus baptize you, but that's my understanding, and some people... There is one scripture that says and implies that we can ask Jesus in 1 John 5. So anyway, I hope I haven't been too windy, but that was on my heart.
Hello. That's
yes.
Okay. We've led her into the sinner's prayer and to ask for the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And what I would advise her to do after your talk with her, she needs to get in the book of Acts and continue to seek God, get away from the prayer meeting she's been going to until she
can. Can I interrupt for a second? Is everybody listening,
Paul,
or are we just talking privately?
Listen to me. We've got about 6 calls, and so we've got to give other people an opportunity to talk, and we've got 30 minutes. So what was that last question you asked?
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't know what you were asking me. I've been through the Sinner's Prayer, October 13th, 2009. I have spent the last 3 years doing all of this.
Okay.
And there is some hindrance, and I know part of it came in the very beginning when I first started on this walk because, again, I was raised in Catholicism. So when I first started on this walk, I thought that there was something you had to do to be baptized and to be able to pray in the Spirit. So I started reading, and I know that has left something in my mind. And I've been told by different churches, you have to practice by saying la, 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 la.
No,
I had a Word of Faith church telling me that. Then, thank God, my Pentecostal church said, no, you don't do that.
They're right.
So I've been through all of this, and that's why there's some hindrance still in me, and I don't know what it is, and it bothers me because I don't know what it is that's hindering me.
Can you hold on and let us take some more calls?
Sure. That's why I was hoping that we were private and not holding everybody up, because I know you have other calls.
Okay, what you do is you just hold on and listen, and we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless. Let's see, 8:30, you're on the air. Hello? 8:30, you're on the air. I'll come back to that one. Okay. Has her hand up. Let's see. 873, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Hi, this is Robin. How you doing, Pat Holiday?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Okay. I'm calling for a prayer. A couple of years ago, Holy Ghost told me to take a picture of the back of my head, and in the photograph there was an image of a hexagram drawn by the witches who were attacking me. And praise the Lord, tonight as I was listening to you, the Lord sent me to one of your newsletters on the Star of David.
Yes, ma'am.
And I read some of that, and it basically says that the witches use the Star of David as a means to zero in on a person or a Christian that has it drawn on them.
Uh-huh.
I need that broken off of me.
We'll do it right now. What church do you go to? What kind of church?
I'm not going to a church right now.
Why?
Well, because I want to join your church.
Well, we're glad to have you in our church, but how long since you've been to a church?
It's been a while.
Oh. Well, what I want to ask you is, are you born again?
Yes, I am. I've called you and had deliverance done with you. Probably just don't remember me because I don't call very often.
Well, I get a lot of calls, both on the radio and in my home. So don't get offended if I don't remember you.
That's all
because
right.
Because I talk to a lot of people the time from all around the world. I've had a couple of people that got offended because I didn't remember them. And I'm just one little teeny human being. We're going to break that off of you. And, of course, what that is, it's called a hexagram, the Star of David, they call it. But the Star of David is just a star, a hexagram that the Rothschilds use in their high-level witchcraft practices. And when they bought 85% of Israel in 1917, they had them to put the Star of David on the Israeli flag. But it's not, there's no scripture that says there's anything is called a Star of David in the Bible. And so it's one of the highest orders of witchcraft in the world. And they've put it on the Star of the flag of Israel so that they can control Israel. In addition to that, they're trying to bring in the New World Order and the end time scriptures. So it has nothing to do with God. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, what kind of church did you grow up in?
Didn't really grow up in a church. My father's background, he was a Catholic. I went to a Catholic church very briefly.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only time?
Yeah, that was like, I think I was like around 9 or 10 years old. I'm 47 now.
What was your mother raised in?
My mom, she really didn't go to church, from what I understand. But a couple of years ago, she did join Jehovah's Witness, which I've been trying to talk her out of.
Uh-huh.
And she's pretty much turned her back against me.
Did your mother ever practice witchcraft that you know?
My uncle told me that she used to mess around with the tarot card.
Uh-huh.
And I also found that, my grandmother's husband was a 33-degree Freemason who passed away last year.
Yeah.
I'm not blood related to him, though.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that my uncle him and his side of the family. My mother has a different father from her other brothers and sister, but they share the same mother.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Did you yourself ever go to fortune tellers and play around with psychics and things like that?
I have to confess that I've played around with Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, I'd say, the late 90s, a friend of mine, I've always was curious about it, and she presented it to me. And I played with it often, and matter of fact, she gave it to me, and then I had it for a little while, and then I threw it out.
Uh-huh.
That, and I used to be into astrology and stuff like that, like signs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's it.
Now, let me ask you this. Have I ever ministered to you and had you to renounce all that stuff before?
I've been ministered to by you a few times. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to bring this up. I'm the one that gave Gango something to give to you.
What'd you give?
Bishop.
What'd you give him?
A packet full of graphs.
What pictures? Oh, okay. Okay, so you came up to the conference.
Well, I drove out to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to actually attend his conference because I had to go to work, but I met
All
with
right.
him just before the conference.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. What I want you to do is I want you to pray with me,
okay.
and I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I renounce. All of the family generational curses.
All of the family generational curses.
Coming down my family line. 15 generations back.
15 generations back.
15 generations forward.
15 generations forward.
And I ask you. To deliver me from all ancestral spirits.
To deliver me from all ancestral spirits.
All sexual spirits.
All sexual spirits.
Perversions. I ask you to deliver me from every witchcraft power.
I ask you to deliver me from every witchcraft power.
Coming down my family line. I ask you to forgive me. For my own things that I did in witchcraft.
The things that I've done in witchcraft.
And what that is you know, the things that you just confess.
Right.
So
Ouija board, astrology.
Yeah, all of those things. And say, I renounce them.
I renounce Ouija boards and astrology.
Fortune telling, psychics, gypsies. Going to supernatural movies. And Ouija boards. And Satan, I bind all the familiar spirits. That you have put in my line and upon me. And I command you. To come out of me and get into the cage. I belong to Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you. To save my soul. To forgive me. For everything that I have done. Forgive my family. For the things that they have done. And save them. And I ask you to deliver me today. And I also ask
And I also ask
that you will take away all spiritual blindness. I renounce. The Catholic Church. I renounce the Pope. I renounce all of the sacrifices. That they do. And all of the idolatry. I receive you. Today, Jesus. As my personal Savior. And your Word. And in the name of Jesus. I cut myself free from those things. And in Jesus' name. I ask you to deliver me now. Now I want you to take a deep cough and just cough them out. All of you come up and out right now. Everyone. You come up and out. Get up and out. I break every hex, curse, blood sacrifice over you. Every dedication to Satan over you by family members. And you will come out. You will listen. You will leave her. In we bind the powers and the principalities of you and the other people that are listening that are getting delivered right now. Come up and out. Everybody up on the spectrum. Put your hands up in agreement. Everyone on the spectrum. And if you've had these things in your life, just take deep coughs and come up, come out. Come out of everything in the name of Jesus. Nothing can be, nothing can stay. Get out. Now I want you to say, I break the power. Of masonry. All Catholic secret societies. And every oath. That has been made for my soul. I break it now. You have no authority over my mind. My body or my spirit. And in Jesus' name. I break that pentagram curse over me. I disconnect myself from the warlock that put it there. And I command that devil to come out of me now. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And all sacrifices. Of animals or humans. Are broken now. In Jesus' name. Now, Satan, you release her. Release her mind, her body, her spirit, her flesh. Come out. Take a deep cough and make it leave.
Luke.
Every bit of it. Up and out. Defeated by the blood of the Lamb. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus right now. You are totally defeated. You have no authority. You have no power. Every devil that has come to harass you, they have to go. Every devil of confusion, we take authority of the spirit of Babylon, and we command that spirit to come out right now. Get out. Right now. Come out. Praying to the saints. Worshiping statues. Come out. In the every inherited devil, religious devils, come out in the name of Jesus. The mystery of Babylon, come up and out. Asterisk, come out. Baal, come out. In the name of Jesus right now. You have no authority.
I can't cough no more. I'm tired.
No, you're not dying. You cough in the name of Jesus. You come out. And I find that spirit that said it was dying. You come out. You death.
No, I said I'm tired.
I know you're tired. Okay, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
I ask you to fill me.
I ask you to fill me.
With the power.
With the power.
Of your Holy Spirit.
Of your Holy Spirit.
From my head to my feet.
From my head to my feet.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I receive you, Holy Ghost.
I receive you, Holy Ghost.
Now just raise your hands and let the Lord Jesus fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And open your mouth and start praising. Praising.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Praise you.
Thank you.
Open
thank
your mouth
you, Jesus.
And praise you.
Thank you. Thank you,
let
you Jesus.
Let him touch you with the Holy Ghost.
Almighty God. Almighty King.
Yes.
Praise you, Almighty
with your
God.
New
praise
tongue.
You. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you. Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty King.
Hallelujah.
King of kings. Hallelujah.
Marshall.
Hallelujah. Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Honey.
Yeah.
What I want you to do is I want you to take a deep cough, and I'm going to call the hidden spirits out of you, okay? Deep cough. All
okay.
Hidden spirits come out by the fire of the Holy Ghost right now. Out. Get into the cupboard. Nothing can stay. Amen. Nothing can stay. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. Okay, honey, I want you to raise your hands and ask him to baptize you with the evidence of speaking with your new language. Just open up your mouth and take a deep breath and then speak in your new language. He will fill your mouth as you speak. Go ahead. Lift your hands and speak. Lift your hands. Hello?
Hello?
Lift your hands and speak. Praise.
I praise you, Almighty God. I praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty God,
heal,
Almighty
heal,
King.
Holy Ghost, overflow.
Precious Father, precious King, I praise you, Almighty God. I praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Thank you, Father. I praise you, Almighty God. I praise you, Almighty
okay.
King.
Okay, honey, let me tell you something. You heard Marshall just speak to this other lady, and you heard his testimony. That later, after he asked for the Holy Ghost, he was someplace else, and the Holy Ghost came and filled him. And that's what I'm going to ask you to continue to praise him. Get in the Word of God. Get up on the MiracleInternetChurch.com. Listen to some of the MP3s and the television programs. Get yourself filled with the things of God. And come back next week and let us hear a testimony, okay?
Okay, thank you, Pat.
God bless.
Okay.
8:30, you're on the air.
Hey, Pat, this is Edith. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Edith.
Okay, Pat, I just want to give the praise report of my brother, Rick, that I called and spoke to.
Okay, let me,
and,
let,
yes,
when
ma'am.
You get through, I'm going to let... Marshall pray for you because he's prayed for you before, okay?
No, I don't. No, no, thank you. I want you. I just want you. Nobody else. I just want you.
I don't do it that way. I don't do it that way.
Well,
the Lord had me to say let Marshall pray for you.
But and, I have a. I just want to say about
right,
what
get the praise well, report.
Well, my brother Rick. It was this Friday on the 28th. He called. And it was just too many things were happening. I already prayed for him this whole week, and he tried to commit suicide. The ambulance came and took him, but while Bishop Kanko was praying for him, and my other friend Helen, I called her, so I had like four people praying for him.
Yeah.
And as I called, the ambulance was picking him up. They took him. He started throwing up. They pumped his stomach. He was in a state hospital for 7 days,
wow.
And he was released. But he got delivered. It was the intercession. You know, but that was a miracle. And my brother Frank, who they prayed for, who's my husband's brother, he's alive, and he is in a resting home, and he's
oh,
doing better.
Goodness.
So he needs a lot of work, but he's alive.
Well,
so those are the two miracles that happened. That the Lord is the God. That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the light. And that's all I have to say. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Edith. Bye bye. Okay, let's see what else we have up here. Brother Marshall, let's go up to, I think, let me see, we got some light, that's her, let me see, 973, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, 973, your light's up. Okay. 973, you're on the air. Okay, Brother Marshall, she's not speaking. So, or he's not. I don't know whether it's a he or a she. Okay, Brother Marshall, I think that we prayed. Let me just try this last number, and then we'll go back to the one you were ministering to. We have eight minutes. Brother Marshall, are you in agreement with us that all these stargates are closed over Jacksonville and wormholes and magic and everything going on here?
According to the word of God in Matthew 18:19, in Jesus' name, the Father said he'll do it. So thank you, Father.
Amen. Okay, let's see. 863, you're on the air.
It's still me.
Still you?
Yes, I'm the one that you asked to hold on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're back on the air. Did you get any deliverance while we were praying for that other lady?
No, I went along with it because a lot of the things that you did with her,
yes,
were the prayers that I did last week.
Good. Okay.
So that's why I guess I was confused because I thought, well, those are the same ones pretty much that I was doing the night that the enemy attacked my son.
Okay, let me say this. Now, I went over this with you, and evidently you did not understand me. God, as Marshall said, calls people, and he anoints them to do the ministry that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He called me 35 years ago to cast out devils and to break curses and to do what you heard me to do with that other woman.
Right.
You have not received the Holy Spirit yet, and you have taken somebody's manual or somebody's word and gone and done that, and you, God has not called you to do that yet. He might call you to do that, but you have not received the Holy Spirit yet. So that's what I was trying to tell you before. You're doing what is supposed to be done, but you haven't learned how to protect yourself. And tonight, we were trying to get you to open up to receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brother Marshall was explaining to you, and I was explaining to you, that when you ask for the Holy Spirit, what happens is he comes the minute you ask. He's there. But now the manifestations of the Holy Spirit may come a little bit later on. Now, Marshall, have you got anything to add to this?
Well, you know, just that and he gives us the gift of righteousness by his blood. That's what makes us righteous. It says in Romans 5:17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, so that we can reign in life by one Jesus Christ. But we can't do that without the power of the Spirit. But it says in Isaiah, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. So you can't do it in your own strength. That's the whole point. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, he says. So it's a matter of yielding to the Lord. And the Lord had to teach me this one time, that if you're getting, and I'm not saying you are, but I know I have been. I was in a meeting once, and I got really uptight because there was some spirits manifesting in this child sitting in the pew in front of me. And those spirits did not want to be cast out. They knew that their time was short in this little girl, and they were going to be cast out shortly. They were trying to get that little girl to get their parents, you know, to take her out of the meeting. They didn't want to be removed from her. And because of that, what was going on, stuff in me was getting stirred up, okay? And the Lord reminded me about that scripture in Isaiah, I think it's 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. So if you've received Jesus by his blood as your Savior and your Lord, then you've received his gift of righteousness by the blood. And the work of righteousness, he does the work, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. You can rest. He's not going to give you any bad gifts. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's actually one of the weapons that he gives us. It says, where is that? I think it's in Philippians chapter 1. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them, and let's see, make sure if I got the right address for it. Yeah, Philippians 1:28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is these ungodly spirits, which is to them an evident token of perdition. In other words, they're being destroyed, removed, but to you of salvation and that of God. You see, the spirit of fear or being uptight or anxious is opposite to faith. They both look to the future and demand to be fulfilled. So you can't operate in complete faith if you have a spirit of fear mixed in there. So,
right.
So you may need to repent. And by the way, something you said before reminded me of a friend of mine that she'd been struggling with bad knees for, I don't know, many decades. And one morning she woke up and she was in excruciating pain. She couldn't even get up out of the bed to go to the bathroom. She said, okay, Father, you know, I don't have to be known as the little girl with the bad knees or whatever anymore. Father, show me what I need to do to get rid of the spirit of pain that Jesus already paid the price. She knew that Jesus paid the price. He became mm-hmm. a curse for us. So she asked the Father, and it says in the beginning of James, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given him. So if you have a blockage keeping the Holy Ghost from having his way in your life, guess what? Ask your Heavenly Father, who loves you perfectly, what it is in the name of Jesus. And if you persevere and you ask and you listen, he may have you read the scripture or he may have you come across someone or somebody. Just be alert, listen, and he'll show you what it is. You know, I know it says at the end of Psalm 91, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. So he says, if you call upon him, he'll answer you. So he promises to do that. If you set your love on him, he'll answer you, and he'll show you if there's something blocking. It may take a little longer than you'd like, but if it's worth finding out, it's worth waiting to get the answer. So that's a suggestion I have for you. Or maybe the Holy Ghost does, but anyway.
Right.
So.
But if I know I have things in my life, like let's say that girl, you know, when I was a kid back in the 70s, I played with Ouija boards. I was a muscular dystrophy fortune teller when we had the carnivals in our backyards. I was raised in Catholicism. So if I know I have a lot of those same things that she just got delivered from, do I need to find somebody to pray that over me? I can't ask God to deliver me from that if I know I have those things or ungodly soul ties.
Right. You just repent to the Father in Jesus' name. You know, I mean, not everybody can find somebody like that, Holiday. But Father God can meet us where we are. And if you repent to the Father in Jesus' name for all the things you just listed and anything else the Holy Spirit reveals to you, and you can just look at yourself in the mirror or look in your eyes in the mirror and command those spirits to leave you in Jesus' name and, you know, go into a cage and have nothing, not come back again in Jesus' name, and ask the Father to fill you afresh with the Holy Ghost and ask Jesus to baptize you afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, to fill up every void, and ask the Holy Spirit to just burn out any residual little spirits. He'll take care of it. There are ministries out there that do go line upon line, precept upon precept, and if you've never looked up beinhealth.com, you could check that out. They have a For My Life program, which is wonderful because they kind of, it's sort of like an automatic car wash in the spiritual cleaning realm. They help people understand those things and get rid of a lot of stuff.
Hello.
Yes.
We're down to 10 seconds, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into a little bit overtime with you. We can call those spirits out, darling. The reason that we did not call those spirits out up until now is because you didn't seem to have an understanding of salvation, and I wanted to make sure you were saved, and you didn't seem to have an understanding of what we were talking about with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And
no,
so
I didn't know what you were looking for, because I understand all that. I've spent the last 3 years doing nothing but learning and catching up on everything that I missed by growing up in the Catholic Church.
Okay. The thing is with your input back to us, we didn't understand that you understood those things. But as far as calling the spirits out of you, we can call those spirits out of you today. And but you, what you have to do after we call the spirits out of you, you need to get into the Word of God and fill up with the Word of God and the things of God, and just call us back next week and let us see how you're doing, because sometimes spirits come out and then some more will surface later as God shows them. So will you do that?
Sure, I can
okay.
do that.
I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I renounce. The Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church.
The Pope.
The Pope.
The sacrifices.
The sacrifices.
The idolatry.
The idolatry.
Praying to the dead.
Praying to the dead.
The mystery of Babylon.
The mystery of Babylon.
Astria.
Austria?
Yeah, that's a spirit.
Okay.
I renounce Baal.
I renounce Baal.
I renounce all of the Babylonian spirits.
I renounce all of the Babylonian spirits.
And I renounce all occult spirits.
And I renounce all occult spirits.
Now first, have you ever dabbled in the occult yourself?
Yes, years ago.
Okay, tell us what you dabbled in.
Well, like I said, we used to do the muscular dystrophy neighborhood carnivals as kids. I was always the fortune teller with the tarot cards.
Okay.
I had a Ouija board.
Okay.
That was back in the 70s. I have been to fortune tellers and palmists, read horoscopes, but never led my life by them, but I know that that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let me ask you this: when you did the thing at the muscular dystrophy, were you just playing a role, or had you gotten involved in those things?
Oh no, I had no clue what the cards meant.
You were just playing like you were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, do you know whether your mother or your father were in secret societies like Knights of Columbus and Masonry? And
to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe so. However, my mother is Italian. We had relatives in the Mafia. I had an uncle by marriage that I believe was probably a Freemason.
Yeah.
So I figured that those had to be included also. My father was never a member of the Knights of Columbus, but we used to go to their functions.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm your child.
I'm your child.
I've asked you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
And I've asked you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And I thank you that you have done that.
And I thank you that you have done that.
That you love me.
That you love me.
And when I'm delivered.
And when I'm delivered.
You will give me the gift of tongues.
You will give me the gift of tongues.
And I thank you right now.
And I thank you right now.
that you are going to deliver me.
That you are going to deliver me.
From all of the family spirits.
From all of the family spirits.
Coming down my family lines.
Coming down my family line.
I renounce you, Satan.
I renounce you, Satan.
I renounce all secret societies.
I renounce all secret societies.
Oaths.
Oaths.
Blood sacrifices.
Blood sacrifices.
Ritualistic sacrifices.
Ritualistic sacrifices.
Religious spirits.
Religious spirits.
Witchcraft spirits.
Witchcraft spirits.
Occult spirits.
Occult spirits.
Antichrist spirits.
Antichrist spirits.
Spirits of rebellion.
Spirits of rebellion.
Rejection.
Rejection.
Now, I don't know who you are. Nobody knows who you are up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, have you ever had any abortions or anything like that?
No, I had a child out of wedlock.
Okay. Well, now, whenever you have a child out of wedlock, and the book of Deuteronomy,
mm-hmm.
what it says is the bastard comes down 10 generations, and they're forbidden to go into the sanctuary of God.
Mm-hmm.
So this part is for your child, okay?
Right.
And yourself, too. And when you become born again, what happens is, and we break the curse of the bastard
mm-hmm.
over you and your child, then when your child grows up, he will, is it a he or she?
He
will be open to receive Jesus
mm-hmm.
because we're going to break that curse off of him today, okay?
Okay.
And yourself. And because when you receive Jesus, the new covenant is the new covenant, and that's under the old covenant. So we're preparing for him to enter into the new covenant when he grows up. You
yes.
understand?
Yes.
Okay. So say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
For fornication.
For fornication.
I ask you.
I ask you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That you will break the curse.
That you will break the curse.
Off of me.
Off of me.
And my son.
And my son.
And today.
And today.
I break the silver cords.
I break the silver cords.
And the fragmented mind.
And the fragmented mind.
And I repent.
And I repent.
For all sexual activities.
For all sexual activity.
Outside of marriage.
Outside of marriage.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask you.
And I ask you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That you will fill all of these places.
That you will fill all of these places.
With the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit.
And I command all of these spirits that I have, that have been named.
I command all of these spirits that I have that have been named.
In me.
In me.
And I ask you to deliver me today.
And I ask you to deliver me today.
And Satan, you are a liar.
And Satan, you are a liar.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
You have no power over my body.
You have no power over my body.
Or my mind.
Or my mind.
And my spirit belongs to Jesus.
And my spirit belongs to Jesus.
Now let me ask you, are you married now?
We have gone through a divorce, but I'm standing for restoration.
Okay, so that's a good thing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, say.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm believing you.
I'm believing you.
To restore my marriage.
To restore my marriage.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I'm going to speak to those spirits in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take deep coughs and start coughing them out in the name of Jesus. And then Brother Perot will be speaking to things and calling them out too.
Okay.
We'll finish reading the word to you. We're going to do deliverance on you now.
Okay.
And we command those devils to go into the cage instantly. Every spirit that we named, you come out in the name of Jesus. You come out in the name of Jesus. Everyone, come up and out and get into the cage.
All ungodly religious spirits, up and out, run nothing on the way, never return, in Jesus' name. All spirits from Catholicism, up and out, in Jesus' name. All spirits associated with occultic spirits, up and out, in Jesus' name. Go into the cage and never return, in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against you, the blood of Jesus against you, the blood of the Lamb of God, who has all power in heaven and earth, against you, in Jesus' name.
Come out. We're in agreement.
You may never return, in Jesus' name.
Everything named, everything not named. Cut. The roots, come out. Every root, come up and out. Every root, come out. You're a liar and the father of it. You can't cut.
All spirits of Babylon, all spirits of Baal, up and out in Jesus' name. Go into the cage in Jesus' name. Rend nothing on the way. Never return in Jesus' name.
Drinking the bread of deliverance and drinking the blood of Jesus. All marriage spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Every marriage spirit. Asmodeus, come out in Jesus' name. We bind you and cage you in Jesus' name. Asmodeus, we bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. You come out in Jesus' name. Beelzebub, we bind you and cage you, come out in Jesus' name. Apollyon, you come up now in Jesus' name. We bind you and cage you in Jesus' name. Every marine devil, you are caged individually. You have water spirits, you come out in Jesus' name. Every water spirit, you come out. We cage you, we bind you, and cage you. All spiritual husbands, spiritual spouses, you come out in Jesus' name. Every spiritual spouse, you come up in Jesus' name. Every sex devil, we cage you separately in the name of Jesus. We bind you with fetters, bind cords of the blood of Jesus. You come out in Jesus' name. All oral sex devils, we bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. You come up out in Jesus' name. All perverse sex acts, we bind you and cage you. Come out in Jesus' name. All spiritual blindness and deafness, hardness of the heart, you come out, we bind you and cage you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out from the root in Jesus' name. All of these things, we called you out from the root. We lay the acts of the word of God to the root of it. Come out by the root in Jesus' name. Into the cage.
Into the cage.
You can enter no more in Jesus' name. Every marine devil, you must leave. Star Marine, we bind you in Jesus' name. We bind you and your stars. We uncrown you in Jesus' name. We break the crown of unrighteousness now in Jesus' name. You come up out in Jesus' name. The star of vagina, we bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. All markings on the body, spiritual and ethical, bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of her in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. The blood is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. We cut off the tails of Leviathan. We cut seven heads of Leviathan. In the name of Jesus, we uncoil you and untwist you from the spine. In Jesus' name, every python spirit, every snake spirit, we cut you in pieces in the name of Jesus. We bind you and cage you. Come in Jesus' name. We cut you off from her spine in Jesus' name. Up and out in Jesus' name. Kundalini, we cut you off in the name of Jesus. We cut off your head, we cut off your tail. We cut you into pieces in Jesus' name. You make yourself microscopic, come out of her. Untwist, come out of her now in the name of Jesus. Make yourself microscopic and come out of her in the name of Jesus. Come out. Every twist of the word, we bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. Untwist, uncoil, come out. Make yourself microscopic and come out. All false doctrines, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Every false teaching, we cage you. We bind every antichrist spirit in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of seduction, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of delusion in the name of Jesus. Every lie, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Every untruth, we bind you and cage you in the name of Jesus. You come out in Jesus' name. spirit that came to get her.
And all spirits of lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, all spirits of intellectualism, humanism, they bind you in Jesus' name, command you to rend nothing on the way, cage you in Jesus' name, you never return in Jesus' name, rend nothing on the way, every one of these spirits, in the name of above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus.
The spirit that attacked her son, we take authority and dominion over you from our position in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We bind you and take you in the name of Jesus. You come out. Come out now. Come out of that home in Jesus' name. You have no authority in that house. We plead the blood of Jesus over that house. We plead the blood of Jesus over that house. Oh, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, sweep that house with the blood of Jesus. Run out every unclean spirit. Every unclean spirit must leave in the name of Jesus. All statues and all physical artifacts of idolatry, we sever them from her and from her life and from the life of her son. All rosaries in Jesus' name. Do you have any of those rosary beads and statues of Mary and all that kind of stuff left over?
I'm sorry, what? Did you asking me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm asking you, do you have any rosary beads, statues?
I have gotten rid of everything.
Okay. Oh, great. Good.
I mean, there may still be some packed up in my storage, but as I find them, I get rid of them.
All right. Okay. What I'm going to tell you is, after we get finished praying for you and get you filled with Holy Ghost,
yes.
I want you to go around your house with your oil, and I want you to anoint the doorpost and the windows. And we're going to command all of those spirits out of your house. And we're asking the Holy Ghost to seal your house and your son and to bring the power of the blood of Jesus into your house as a covering and the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost. And so now you can remember that, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. Say now, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask that you fill these empty places.
I ask that you fill these empty places.
With your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
From my head to my toes.
From my head to my toes.
And with the Holy Ghost fire.
And with the Holy Ghost fire.
And burn all hidden spirits out.
And burn all hidden spirits out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now take a deep breath and just cough them all out. Come out in the cage. Come out. Every spirit loose. Now. Nothing to stay. We wash the blood of Jesus. And everyone that she's getting delivered, with the blood of Jesus. We get the blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost, drive them out. Drive them out. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Give you glory. Hallelujah. We cut her free from all demonic power. We release the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill her head to her feet. Overflow with his Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you. Now, honey, take a deep breath and just praise the Lord as he fills all those empty places. And you can continue to get delivered all throughout the week. Every time you cough or sigh or any kind of manifestations like you've just had, just say, thank you for delivering me, God. Fill that place with you and your Holy Spirit. And I want you to call us back next week.
Okay.
And go up on my webpage, Miracle Internet Church, and listen to some of those tapes and listen to the Word of God and fill yourself up with the things of God and come back and talk to us next week and give us a testimony, okay?
I will do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. Marshall?
Bye-bye.
Marshall?
Yes.
We still have some people up on the line. Let me see. Let's take this call. 405, you're on the air.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Pat. It's Tammy from Oklahoma. How you doing?
Hey, Tammy, how are you?
I am blessed, and the more I listen to you guys, the more blessed I get.
Well, praise the Lord. Marshall, Tammy was down at our conference over the last week.
Wonderful.
And she got a lot of deliverance and fellowship, and so you have a testimony?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I wanted to say everything. I had actually hung up, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to get back on, that y'all were still there.
And we're here.
I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to get back on. And what I had heard, I had wanted to ask, you was telling the lady about the bastard spirit, that she had a child out of wedlock.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, me and my first husband, we had four children, but the first daughter was born and we wasn't married. All four of our children had the same father, but she was born a year before we got married. And I was wondering, would that apply still?
It applies to you. And, Marshall, will you break that curse of bastard over her and her? Are you still married to your husband?
No, okay. we've been divorced 7 years now.
Okay, and are you married to someone else?
Uh-huh, I'm remarried.
Okay. Well, Marshall, will you break that curse off of those children of the bastard?
It's just one, the first one. Jasmine's her name.
Okay, Marshall.
Well, we thank you, Lord, that even though you point out that curse to us in Deuteronomy 23, in the beginning of the chapter, we thank you that, more importantly, in Galatians 3:13 and 14, it is written, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. So since Jesus took Jasmine and her mom's cup of cursing for them, we cancel those curses in Jesus' name. We sever all ungodly assignments of the enemy, going back 10 generations and forward 10 generations in Jesus' name, on Jasmine and all those connected and related to her in Jesus' name, because of the blood of the covenant. For Jesus took the cup of cursing, so Jasmine and her mom do not need to suffer any curses from that anymore in Jesus' name, as I know her mom has repented of that in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Father, to send the Holy Ghost to minister to Jasmine and her mom in whatever way they need, and lead them in the way you want them to go in Jesus' name. Fill them afresh, Father, with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Thank you.
We call those curses and command them to go into the cage over your children and you, and we command them to go to the feet of Jesus. And you just take a deep cough and cough them out right now. Come up and out. And ask the Lord to forgive you.
Thank you, Lord.
We break those soul ties. And we command all of the fragmented soul to come back into one mind. Come back. Be healed. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, Tammy, I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Yes, okay. Hey, Pastor Sabrina, God bless you.
Okay, and we've got one more hang on up here, Marshall. 347, we're back. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Holliday. I was the first person to talk on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask that question about the communion, about eating of the body and the drinking of the blood.
Okay, Marshall wasn't up then. And so if you can quickly ask him that question about what you asked me, because I gave you an answer, but Marshall really has studied communion far more than I have. And Marshall, talk a long time, but just tell her.
I read John 6, 53-54, and it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So it says that whosoever eateth his flesh and drinketh his blood hath eternal life. So I just wanted to know what that really meant. Is it pertaining to the communion or just the resurrection and crucifixion?
I believe it pertains to the communion.
Okay.
That's been my understanding. It means just what it says, you know, that, you know, Jesus spoke everything. He's the Word of God. He spoke everything into being that exists, visible and invisible, it says in Colossians. Well, if he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, well, then it is. When you take it into you, whether you have grape juice or wine or whatever you take in, even if you just have water, he turned the water into wine in his first miracle. So he is the creator. He has that quickening spirit. He has the gift of he is the creator. So whatever he says happens. And
sure.
You know, it isn't his blood in a glass, but when you take it into you, you become part of the body of Christ, and you have, as it says, you have his blood in you. Not that it's turned into something by a priest speaking over it or a human being. It's changed because of the word of God that's forever settled in heaven, and that's who he is.
All righty. So without a communion, it means you don't have eternal life. I mean, you have to follow
I think you have to take all the scripture in context, and if you just think about the thief on the cross that recognized who Jesus was supernaturally, and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And here's a man who just looked like shredded meat, bleeding all over. But he looked to him, and that is the look of faith. Okay, and that's what Jesus called us to do in John 3:14. He said, for as much then as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He became that snake on the pole for us. He took all of our sins into himself. Okay? So if you look, he didn't have time to have communion, that man on the tree that was being crucified with Jesus. But Jesus said, this day will you be with me in paradise. So I don't think any of the rituals or whatever of the church are necessary, but the faith is necessary. And he definitely had the faith in the blood because that's what he was looking at.
Okay. So with a communion, can you do it by yourself and pray over it, or a priest has to pray over it?
He calls us to be his kings and priests in two places, in the first chapter, and I think it's the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. He calls us to be kings and priests, and he calls us the royal priesthood in Peter. So that's who we are. We're priests to his Father and our Father, his God and our God. So we intercede for others, we pray for others, and one of the priestly functions is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, but we also receive him, receive his blood. And yes, I'm quite convinced that any believer has no one has more power and authority over that temple, the Holy Spirit, than you do with Jesus. And that's what he wants. He wants to fellowship with us. And I think that's available for any believer to do. You know, if you have a husband, it would be great to have him do it with you if he's a believer. But, you know, I mean, you don't always have. It's wonderful to do it in a body of believers in the church, but sometimes it's nothing wrong with doing it individually. I don't see that. Moses had faith in the blood, you know, regardless of whether he was with somebody or not. There's other places. You think about Rahab. She had faith in that red cord hanging out her window that saved her whole family. Anyway, it's a type of communion. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, I think I see one more red hand up. Let's see. Let me push this. You'll be off soon, brother. 8:30, you're on the air. Hello? Well, they didn't speak, brother, but Brother Marshall, what a powerful night we had tonight, huh?
You know, I heard some of the teaching earlier, but I didn't hear all of it, so I'm going to have to go back to listen to it. So,
well, it was a very, very important teaching, and it's my hope that people will listen to it, because you see, what I noticed is this, Brother Marshall, some of these people that are untaught, they send those curses back to the witches in vengeance, in pure hate, and they don't realize that what they're doing is they're dealing with a soul that will burn in hell forever. And just like Bishop Penko, you know, God loved him. and took him by his pants across the street to that assembly of God, and he got saved. There's not one sin in the world that the blood of Jesus can't heal and cleanse. But if we treat people in that kind of a manner, they'll never find God, and they could be being turned off for eternity. And so the Lord just told me, he said, I want you to do some more teaching on that, because all Christians know is you can't sin back because you're cursing people. You're not cursing people by commanding devils that have been sent to you to go back to where they came from and then pray for the souls of those that are dabbling around in the power of darkness, because we want them to get saved. And
Amen.
Jesus wants them to get saved. So that's in essence, but it was a very deep teaching, and I've got a lot more to add to it. We're going to revisit this again very, very soon.
Good.
I have one call that we're going to take, and then we're going to go away, Brother Mark. 248, you're on the phone.
Hey, Pat, it's me. What I wanted to do is actually call in a request for somebody.
Okay.
And the person has found, the doctors have found a lump, and they were going to remove the lump in one of the lymph nodes.
Yes.
And the deal is the person's just having a hard time with feeling scared, being fearful, and just needing to have faith and stuff. Pardon me?
Is the person saved?
Yes.
Okay, let's let Marshall pray. He really is great when it comes to healing prayers. Marshall?
Well, Father, I don't know who this person is, but it says that the Lord is not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Father, if this person needs, and I don't know this person at all, I don't know who she's referring to, if this person needs the gift of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth that he or she will recover themselves from the snare of the devil or any snares, we ask you to grant them that, Father, in Jesus' name, because you said, if two of you on earth agree to touching anything you ask my Father, he will give it them. In Matthew 18:19, there's at least two of us. I know Pat and I are in agreement, whoever this lady is who's calling in, the sister. So we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to show that person whatever they need to repent of, if there is anything, Father. And we ask you to send your word and heal that person, like you said in the Psalms, Lord. So we ask you to send your word and totally restore that person in Jesus' name. Make that person every whit whole, Father God, in Jesus' name. And every spirit of ungodly fear, taking anxious thought for tomorrow, in Jesus' name, we bind you, put you in a cage, we cancel your assignments. Every ungodly, foul spirit of cancer and infirmity or whatever kind of foul, unclean spirits they are, we bind each and every one of you, put you in a cage, we cancel your assignments in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we command you to rend nothing on the way loose and go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells
yes.
you to go and never return in Jesus' name. And Father, we know that your arm's not too short to save, so we ask you to reach out and touch this person in the spirit realm in the way that they need to be touched and make them every whit whole in Jesus' name. For you said in your word, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be sozo, Father God, and that means saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. So I ask that person to be made every whit whole as well in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're in agreement?
Hey.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your call. Brother Marshall, one thing before we go off the air, Sabrina and Alice and myself and yourself, we're all going to agree that no destruction comes from Jacksonville from the magical weathermanic spirits. And we're going to pray that this is not only bound here in Jacksonville, but all over the world. Okay?
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
So we take authority over these devils, these third wave devils, these wicked devils of destruction. We bind you up in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over this city or any other city in this nation. And we command that you take your hands off the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we forbid this activity to continue to work in America or any place in the world. And we ask you, God, that you come on the scene you begin to judge some of these false prophets and let the body of Christ see them being judged one right after the other by your hand, God, Jesus, and we'll give you the praise. We ask that you call back the ministers that are in confusion and delusions and strong delusions and bewitchments and every spell, hex, curse, blood sacrifice that's been loosed over your church. We break those powers right now in Jacksonville, Florida, and worldwide. Father, you said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us are in agreement right now. And one person in God is a majority. And you said we're three or more are in your name, that you're right there in the midst of them. And we believe that you have joined in agreement with this prayer. We ask that you bless Brother Marshall and his lovely wife, Nancy, and their children, today is his anniversary. And we just release blessings over that marriage and over that family. We release blessings over my family, over Sabrina's family, Alice's family, all of the people that came up and worked on the chat room tonight, and all of the people that are listening to this program. We thank you for the program, and we thank you, God, for such a wonderful evening, Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
And we'll see you Wednesday and next Friday. And may God bless you all.
Find all spirits of retaliation and cancel their assignments to everyone involved in the call and Jesus' name, all their family members. All spirits of retaliation may you be thrust in a cage and locked in with the key of David in Jesus' name. Gag put in your mouth in Jesus' name. And if you throw a bound spirit, are immediately thrust into a cage in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. Father, we do not rejoice in our God, we first accept you unto the that our names are written in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for keeping us with the apple of your eye. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for raising our hands on your head.
When my soul was so we laugh at Christ. And I need a prayer. And we come and our spirit say that you have no power. God, you became all the
Thank you.
program, a and we ask you not to hold it. We're calling out. We give you praise. We give you glory. Praise. In Jesus' name. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you Wednesday night, 7:30, same place, and Friday night. Thank you, Brother Marshall.
Thank you, Sister Pat. The Lord bless you, protect you continually. The blood of Jesus is a wall of fire around about you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Marshall. God bless everyone.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you, Brother Sister Sabrina. God bless you.
God bless you.